It's just, well, it's charged water. We're using things. I have four metals that we boil in water. 60 grams of copper plate. Then we have 60 grams of iron plate. And we have 20 grams of silver.
In the water.
And 10 grams, yes, and you put it in 10 grams of gold plate, and you're putting it in the water. And the ions from the metals go into the water, and you boil it down from 5 liters of water down to 2.5, and that becomes charged water, which is very good for you. And then I've also got a little yogurt that I offer the dealers, and I mix it in.
Oh, I see, because I gave it to a friend of mine.
I think they have to.
Here.
I have another one. Where's the quartz?
Anyway, my friend is because of a sip of the food. Well, I thought there was some drugs. I just guaranteed that they were great. But, you know, he couldn't figure out what was inside, so I know I can.
Sri Govinda Padam Bojo Murano Mahada Bhutam Yatapayano Namuyanti Muyanti Yatapayano. The liquor distilled from Govinda's lotus feet is most amazing. When one drinks that liquor, it becomes free from intoxication. And when it refrains from drinking, it becomes intoxicated by material pollution. So you basically choose your liquor.
Okay. All right, so this is a practical guide. There's two practical guides here. This is done by one devotee who is a botanist in Chicago Temple, who takes care of Tulsi Rani. He's initiated now. His name is Patrika. And so he put this booklet together for his congregational members to take care of Tulsi in the winter. And it's successful in a sense that at least they can take care of her in the winter. But I want to improve it. I finished up to page 11, and I have about 2/3 left to do, which means I better get off my rear and do it. You know, that's what it means, basically. Pretty good picture of the tooth edges and a distinct Tulsi leaf shape. Pretty good. Not too bad. I think he just did this. It was like a picture. Let's see, where is it? Manjari in bloom. Seedlings. Yeah. This is better. A better picture of it. What you're getting. Vertical growth terminates in a stalk of flowers known as inflorescence grows out of the apical meristem. Now, if your lights are down close, then your Tulsi will naturally flower. Naturally will bifurcate. If your Tulsi is long and stemmy like these are here, then she's reaching for the lamp. It means the lamps are lousy, you know, like that. In this case, the lamps are not that bad. They just happen to be on the roof, you know, where they shouldn't be. They should be close to the plant, you know. I mean, real close, you know. So, we have some pictures to show. Let's see. Put it down. Toot. Our hydro farm pictures. Pretty good stuff. Come on, gang. Ah! My God. Just by hitting it, it messed up. Ah. What do you gotta do? I suppose I gotta get online. Help. See if we get Manohar. No, it's working. So what's it doing? No, it is. Doesn't look like Manohar wants to work. Doesn't look like Manohar wants to work here. Yeah. Why in the heck Manohar is not working? Let's try another one. Okay, let's see. Real slow. Come on, gang. Problem is you can't. When it comes to lights. Sheesh. Yeah. It's pretty good in the sense that it allows you to pop out. Where is it now? Hydro farm lamps. Yeah, here's the picture I wanted. I like this picture because it shows you what you do with it. Come on. Gives you a nice idea how close the lamp should be. Because the clamps are this close, then you're talking about something, you know? It gives you an idea what you should do. It's quite good. It gives you an idea how close the lamp should be, you know? I mean, real close. then it's working good.
Is it possible that this light that are there in the glass out could be pulled down, like a wooden thing, put them down? Will it work?
It'll be better. Will it work? It'll be an improvement. Will it be the best? Uh-uh. I suggest those lamps should probably go on the sides. Or they can be put into other holders and put on the sides of the Tulsi in like an holder. Well, what's it doing now? What's it doing, this stupid thing? Should be a holder, you know, like a lamp holder or something, close. And then they can step it, but they put it all on the roof. It's really stupid, you know? I think they could supplement. I really think that they should get new lamps, and they should supplement that. These lamps, they're already there. They can be used to supplement. And so.
So it should be... Like,
really close. You saw the photo. You saw the photos. The photos are pretty close. Money? $400 are stained. These are $400 each. Without a problem. $450. That's what you're spending. These are street lamps, sir. They're this big. Each lamp is this round and this big. You're talking 400 watts to 1,000 watts of energy. It takes 2 minutes to turn it on. It's a street lamp. Metal halogen lamp.
If that calls, won't be too hot?
Nah! Because they got, it's not so hot. It's not very hot at all. You know? temperature's not that bad. Of course, you're having temperature thermometers. You should have temperature thermometers in there. The thermometer, it should be 23 centigrade to 25. That's what it should be. This is a good picture. I like this picture. I like track A. Why did it do that? Why does it always make it? As soon as you click it, it always goes way high. Strange. Why in the heck are these pictures just don't come out? Don't know why it comes so far down. Why did it come so far down? Why? See this one here, you do the other one, it comes out all right. Weird.
Is there some number of measure for which is the optimum light intensity?
It'll come there.
Okay.
It'll come there. So if your lamps are closed, your flowers will be there.
And it should start branching.
But you're going to have to, yeah, but you'll have to crop her.
Okay.
I'll show the photos of that.
Okay.
You'll have to crop it. Where to crop it, I'll show you.
Okay.
And then the proper thing for the lamps will describe. Two types of Tulsi, Ram Tulsi and Sham Tulsi. The other Tulsis, like, unfortunately, 50% of the plants that are here are basal. The leaves of Sham Tulsi will not turn dark purple unless they're exposed to strong light. In low light, they can be recognized by the purple leaf veins and stems. Hybrids would exhibit some characteristics of each of the two varieties. I haven't really seen so many hybrids. The more time you spend, the more you'll be able to understand what she needs. It's actually a fact. See her grow from a seedling to a large plant. Careful observation is key. If you can understand how she's growing, quickly be able to recognize when she's got a problem. Organic versus inorganic. Well, because the leaves are going to be consumed, you should have... No, don't touch that thing. The lights went out. All the electricity went out. See? The table leg is pushing against the plug. This is pushing. Here, just put the chair back. Go here, put the chair back. Put the chair back. Just put the chair back.
Yes, yes.
It'll do it automatically. Take one of the... Good. Take one of the other chairs.
Yes.
Now take one of the... Take one of the other chairs. No problem. Take one of the other chairs. No. Turn the thing on.
Maharaj,
huh?
Prabhupada said that if you will push F11, the thing will disappear and it will be bigger.
Anyway. So, it mentions that another thing about soil ecology, that if it's natural, it has natural bacteria, which are very good, beneficial bacteria here. Organic potting soil. Use organic potting soil. Nice. Healthy organic plants are able to produce complex chemicals that repel harmful insects, such as whiteflies, aphids, spider mites. It's good. See and smell the difference if you choose to develop a living soil to grow Tulsi. Now, you can get Tulsi plants every place and Tulsi seeds from many places. Available. Now, this picture's here, unfortunately. He's got only Krishna Tulsis. See, the Krishna Tulsis have purple flowers, and the Rama Tulsis have white flowers. So here you have two Krishna Tulsi Manjaris. One of them is seeding, and the other one is not. These were two Manjaris next to each other. The one on the right is a stunted, and the one on the left is a... This was when they broke the top off, and it became two Manjaris on the side. One of them is ripe, and one of them is not ripe. That's what it is. Here. You're just using with the seedlings, when you have new Tulsi seedlings, you're using a spray bottle to spray it. Important to spray them every day to prevent them from drying out. Should be doing it. Don't use a watering can, the water is too strong. And don't keep them too wet because the excess moisture will cause mold to grow. Mold can kill very young plants. Just spray them enough to keep it lightly moistened. The nighttime temperature above 55 degrees Fahrenheit. So then you have to, I mentioned to him that you should put centigrade calculations in it. If you're growing her inside, making sure you're using a light which will not burn her. I personally think that you should go for the highest lamp. Because once you set your infrastructure up, you don't have to change it. Which is probably important for people.
55 degrees
Fahrenheit. How many in centigrade? Oh, I forgot. What was it? There is a formula for converting from Fahrenheit to centigrade. Fahrenheit, nighttime temperatures are when the plants stop growing. When's that? 18.
When water boils in Fahrenheit.
No. That's something else. Water boiling is 112. 112 degrees. Nah, centigrade.
There's a formula.
It's like 55 or something. Water boils at 55 centigrade, 60 centigrade, something.
No, it's 100.
100 centigrade. Water boiling. Anyway, hey, you know, you guys figure it out. There is a formula converting from Fahrenheit to centigrade. Yeah. It basically, 55 degrees Fahrenheit is at nighttime temperature when the plants stop growing. It's that cold. Mm-hmm. So you figure out, when do the plants outside stop growing? What temperature is it?
15 degrees.
15 degrees. Yeah, roughly. Okay, fine. So 15 degrees centigrade. Light which will not burn her. I suggested the lights that should be metal halide from the very beginning. It's costing you $450. It probably cost you about, in this country, it'll probably cost you about 400 euros. Likely, you know? But the point is this, is that you're not changing it after that, you know? You don't have to, because the problem is if you give people an inch, they will take a yard. You know? If you tell them, use a compact fluorescent lamp for your small Tulsis, they're not going to change it when the Tulsi gets bigger. They're busy working hard for a headache. They're not going to change it. Therefore, we should tell them, use the biggest lamp you can buy in the market. Then, you don't have to change your infrastructure. That big lamp is good for the small Tulsis as well as the big Tulsis. You know, that's why I recommended it. The reason is because although everybody has so many financial responsibilities and they're scared initially, it's just a test. Just like In Cardiff, one lady said, how am I going to convince my husband to make this kind of expenditure? And I said, you keep a little donation box next to your Tulsi. And every day when you offer obeisances to her, you put £1 coin in. And at the end of 6 months, you've got 180 pounds, which is enough for your sodium paper lamp. There you go. You know, from April till October, and by October, you really need it. It's the lights are not so good in the house, and the eastern window and like that is going to be cold. So, like that. I said, slowly, slowly. Best thing is to make your own infrastructure up and slowly improve it, you know, like that. Which means you have the basic structure of it, and the biggest investment is the lamp. And if you can't afford that immediately, well, then, you know, then you work toward it, whatever it is. And then, you know, like that, you collect the money from this way, selling candles, selling paintings, you know, getting donations from this way or that way. And then the rest of it you do later, you know. The important infrastructure you buy now, and then the rest of it you buy later, you know, like that. So this is some things. He said camp light floor is good, they're not hot. High wattage fluorescent lights, very close. Lights are too far away, you'll notice she will stretch, growing very tall and thin, like that. Critical stage, if she stretches too much, she will have problems standing upright in the future. Humbug. It's a sign, the lights are lousy. When Tulsis are growing like that, it's a clear sign. Your lights are trash. It's amazing. It's amazing how less brains they've got when they're dealing practically with it. Careful plate the ceiling and the soil so the base of her stem is 1.5 inches from the top of the pot. Fill in more with potting soil, pack it down, removing all their pockets. Give them some water mixed with a mild dose of organic fertilizer. Make sure you don't transplant her in the sun on a very hot day. Cool, rainy days are best for transplanting seedlings because she will be less vulnerable to the intense heat of the summer sun. Place her in the shade for a day or two. Give her full sun and plenty of water. Transplanting indoors, there's no need to keep her in the shade unless you're using grow lights, which produce a lot of heat. If you're using cool lights, just put her under the light and give her some water. She'll be fine. You may notice she stops growing for a few days after your transplant. This is due to her being in shock. She'll be growing again after she gets established in her new pot. You want a trick? The trick is called root tone. They use it for planting roses, for making the roses grow better. This is a powder that they put inside there. It's a hormone to make the roots grow faster for transplanting rose trees. It's called root tone. But there's many different brands, many different countries, and different brands in different countries. You sprinkle that inside. Yeah?
Is it not possible to just put it in a pot?
Nah. Because he's going to absorb all the nutrients and make the soil dirt. Useless. So you should keep her in small pots and gradually move up because you're replenishing the dirt. Not you're putting in one big pot and then all the dirt becomes useless. Mm-hmm. No. You have her in a small pot and it... So what it is that when you have a seedling, you're using a peat moss pot. It is compressed peat. And they're available. Sometimes they have like little buttons and you push it and it expands like a drinking cup, like this. And then the roots will, and you fill it up with ordinary stupid potting dirt and you put your seedling in there. The seeds are planted about 1 centimeter below the dirt and you spray it off with a mist of spray to keep it warm, moist. And then when the Tulsi plant is about this high, then the roots will go through the cup. When the roots start to stick through the cup, it's time. You take that and you plant that in a clay pot about this much bigger on either side, diameter. You got, you know, like this much diameter bigger in a clay pot, roughly that big around. If your peat moss pot is this big around, then your clay pot will be this big around and about this high, and you put it in that.
It's a special pot that you can just...
You just put it right in. Right, because peat moss is just, the roots are sticking right through.
What's that called?
Peat moss, P-E-A-T.
You have it here. It's available.
You have it here, it's very common. It's extremely common. Any stupid garden shop will have them. Any stupid garden shop will have them, dime a dozen. Cheap and best. Easy and cheap. Like that. Now, how to transplant will be later on in the transplant section. Okay, it depends. I'll show you. I'll discuss that. Growing media soil, buy some good stuff. See, every city's got their different ones. In Chicago, they call it Happy Frog or BioBiz. You know, it depends. Every country's got a different one. High quality organic soil. You'll be able to see the difference when she grows. Buying soil, see that it's inoculated with buy additional mycorrhizae separately. Two types available, granular and soluble. Granular is best during repotting, mixed in around the roots of the plant. Soluble form. Tulsi prefers a well-drained soil. You may consider mixing in small quantities of sand. Handful of sand for an 8-inch pot is plenty. Further detail is given in the transplanting section. Water. People overwater. This is not so bad. The only problem with this, I see, is that this thing is only as deep as your finger. The other ones, the one I was showing, is actually this deep.
Checks the big pots to the bottom.
Yeah, it's for big pots. Yeah. That's why this thing is not so good. It's only up to here. Mm. You want to see if you can get them longer. Rapid Test is okay. It's a good company, but you know, there's more than that. No. It's a start. This is a start. You know, I mean, blind uncle is better than no uncle at all. You know, the best is when it's 30 centimeters long. Yeah, that's a good probe. You know, and this one here is two probes. This one's two probes. But it's not showing. It's showing. It's like this long. I've seen them. They're about 30 centimeters long. 30, 40 centimeters long probes. So that's really good. Okay. Now, if you use tap water, the bacteria living in the soil will be killed. Tap water is trash. You're talking about big court cases later on. If you drink ordinary tap water, you're getting gallstones, kidney stones, first class, within 20 years. The calcium in the water is hard, and it mess up your kidneys and gallbladder, like that. What to speak of the chlorine and the fluorine? Chlorine is toxic and will decrease the vitality of your Tulsi plant. Calcium is abundant in tap water, will build up in the soil over time, causing a shift in pH. Look at this. When the pH of the soil is altered, certain ionic nutrients become unavailable to plants. It's called nutrient lockout. Once the levels of calcium is increased, they cannot be decreased by ordinary means. You notice this problem in clay pots. There's a white ring around the rim of the pot. This is calcium deposited over time, very difficult to remove from the soil. The best option is to get good water, like the water from the well. You got your own water, right? Mineral stuff.
Too much calcium
in there. This is called well water. Yeah. So filter it. Right. Which usually you should filter it. Yeah. You should take it out. You should filter it. It's a smart idea. Drinking water that's filtered, yes.
Yes,
that's filtered. Filtered drinking water, yes. Get a good filter. Use only filtered water. Another option is to collect rainwater and use that. Well, this is what I was discussing. If you have a big Tulsi house, if it's like this, V-shaped, you have a nice gutter around the side, and you're collecting the snow, and you've got a screen on it to collect all the leaves out, you know, and then it goes through and it goes down into a rain barrel inside your greenhouse, and you use the rain barrel water, you know. You just heat it up slightly in the winter, you know. Heat it up slightly in the winter until it's room temperature and then pour it on it. Lovely, you know. Works great.
What should be the pH?
The what?
The pH of the soil. he mentioned
pH.
pH
of soil is 5.5.
So that means it's a little acidic thing.
Yeah. No, it's not so. This other
sour.
pH is 5.5. It's neither alkaline is like 9, 8.
Yeah.
You know, so 5.5 is.
I think 6.5 is the mid.
Is middle?
Yeah. It's just a little bit. So 5.5.
5.5 is a good pH for her. A little bit on the acidic. The problem is that if you use in America, they were using like a chemical called Rapid Grow. That one was had too much acidic.
Too
acidic in it. It was too acidic. Get a good filter. Rainwater's not bad. It has dissolved nitrogen, oxygen, hydrogen peroxide when poured in the root zone to collect rainwater, blah, blah, blah. Okay? Watering your Tulsi plant. How to apply it. Tulsi prefers to have a soil more dry than wet. That's why these things are good. These things are not bad, but this what I don't like about it is because it's too small. The tines are too small. The tines should be longer. Pardon me?
Is that a battery inside?
No, there's no battery inside it. Sticking your finger down the surface. This thing is about the length of one finger. You stick this in the pot on the side, and if you feel moisture, then don't give her any water. Mm-hmm. What I rule of thumb is that if you feel dry, you're sticking your finger down, you feel dry, then you spray her off and don't give her any water. You know, you don't want her to wilt, but it's a little dry, but it's got some moisture. I'm feeling some moisture, so we'll spray her off and we'll water it tomorrow. You know? Unless it's really, really hot. You know, if it's hot, if there's a really hot sun pouring on her directly, then no. What about artificial lamps? Don't worry about them. My artificial lamps are on and it's warm, but it's a continual flood of light. And it's not like as heating as the sun is. The atmosphere doesn't heat up like the sun does, direct sunlight. So it's not the same. It can be warm, but it doesn't dry out the soil like the heat of the sun will. Mm. So that's the distinction of it, you know? Like this. So I used to spray her off. She loves a bath. Oh, she picks up when she has a bath. You know, but a lot of times people, they won't do that. You know, they won't bathe her. They won't, they've got cobwebs on her and stuff like that. They'll dress their wife in the latest country Purim silk sari with gold bangles, and for Vishnu's wife gets the shaft, you know. People's priorities need to change a little bit, you know. Anyway, her root system is very fragile and susceptible to disease. If you give too much water, there'll be no oxygen in the soil. Her roots will not survive. A nice way to prevent this is to shake the water in a closed container for a minute before giving it to her. By shaking the water, you're dissolving extra oxygen in the water, which will help her maintain healthy roots. Make sure you soak all around the edges of the pot. Don't water in the center. You don't need to water the center at all. This can cause the main stem to become moldy. Just water around the stem in circles until the water comes out the bottom onto the tray. Now, there was a trick. When the tulsi is big, like the pot is big, you actually push. We would give water the first time, and then I would push with my thumbs around the edges of the pot. Push, and then add water again, and push again. This makes sure that the thumbs, you're pushing on the dirt so it doesn't just flow down the side of the pot. As the tulsi gets bigger, you're worried about the root ball is getting the water or not. So by pressing it around, you're guaranteeing the water is uniformly set in the pot. That's the thing. And the second time you water, you push. And I'm talking about push like hell. You're pushing super hard. All the way around. The pot is literally shaking, you're pushing it so hard. That's how it is. That's how hard you're pushing it. Wait for 30 minutes to allow her to draw water from the tray back into the soil. Could do. The tray, now around each pot, they usually have a little cup you know, a little tray that goes around to stop your furniture from getting wet. And so the gravel in the bottom of the pot should be as high as that lip is. If it's 1 centimeter high, that's all much gravel you require. If it's 2 centimeters high, you require 2 centimeters of gravel on the bottom to stop to a level where the roots are going to get below that gravel anyway, but the rest of it stays above. So this way your roots are not standing in water.
The gravel should be as high as...
high as the lip is. The lip of the... You see, the pot is like this, and you've got a little cup underneath it to hold the water.
Okay.
Right. You see? So as high as that lip is, that's how high the gravel you put on the bottom. That's how high the gravel is. The gravel is according to how high the lip of the tray is. That's all. Like this. And sometimes if you can allow, the water will absorb from the bottom of the tray, you know. If you have extra water, it comes out the bottom, then you don't worry about it, it'll absorb it. Sometimes if we have extras, I was taking the tulsi out of the tray, taking that pot and putting it back in the dirt and let it go through again, you know, like that. Or put it into the next one and let it go through again. And the last of it, you can filter that. It's not different from Ganga. I got Sanskrit to prove it now. It's not different from Ganga. Okay. After 30 minutes, her soil will be completely saturated. Then you're going to get a 4. Just like here, it's going to actually get all the way to the end, showing it's completely wet. She likes half of 0.5. That's when you should water her again. Don't water her again. You water her completely and then leave her dry. It can take up to a week to dry out. It depends. See, the thing about it is, what he's saying, which is not bad, is later on it says, well, how do you know when to transplant if you pour water in a small pot and it dries out in 2 days? Then that is a symptom of pot bound, when the roots have consumed all the thing. It just drinks all the water up so fast. That's one symptom. There's other symptoms too, which we'll show you. Okay, anyway. Okay, here you go. Do not water again till the top half of the soil is completely dry. She's too dry. You'll notice her leaves will become very soft. If you don't give her water at this point, her vascular system will become damaged the next time you give water. Yeah, that's an interesting point. One big mistake, people give water too often. They give a little water every day, they give water every 3 days, whatever the case may be, it's a big mistake. I agree. I agree with them 100%. Factors affecting the time between waters depending upon heat. If you give too much water, the roots will start to rot, the leaves will turn brown, stems will collapse. Many factors will influence the time of waterings. Significant factor is the temperature of the room. If it's very hot, you'll need to water more frequently during the summer. The second more significant factor is the humidity. If the humidity is high, the pot will take more time to dry out, even if the temperature is also hot. If the air is dry, the pot will dry very quickly. The size of the pot will also determine how fast the soil dries out. Small pots have the tendency to dry out quickly. Larger pots take up 1 or 2 weeks to dry out, depending on the conditions. Another factor which related to this is the size of the plant. The plant is very big, she'll drink the water from the pot very quickly. If you have 2 pots the same size, one is drying out very quickly, one can conclude the pot is too small for the plant. It's time to replant. It's good. Here, this picture shows the leaves of a tulsi plant that's been overwatered. What I commented about this page here is, I said, the difficulty is that, you see the tips of other leaves that are next in the photo? The problem is that also looks like magnesium sulfate deficiency. Magnesium sulfate deficiency has a stronger look. The leaves have little yellowish color with veins in it. Basically, it's a magnesium sulfate deficiency. You add some Epsom salt, about a tablespoon of that salt that they use for sprains. You know, when people have sprained legs, it's called Epsom salt. like that. So you use Epsom salt.
Yes.
Yeah, magnesium sulfate.
Yes.
Right, you just take a tablespoon of that, mix it in water, give it to her. Fine, you know? Yeah.
Is it a round blessing?
Huh?
Round blessing, because the purple...
This is the purple tulsi, this is a purple stem tulsi, this is a round, this is a sham tulsi.
Sham.
Whose lights are not that strong. The lights were not that strong to show the purple leaves. You can tell by the purple stem, it's a sham tulsi. This is a sham tulsi. Different kinds of lights, very easy to get overwhelmed. Yeah, we ain't going to get overwhelmed because we're going to tell them to get the highest lamp for the beginning. Now, but I suggested to them, why don't you put pictures of each lamp? So he's talking about different lamps. Put pictures of samples of each lamp. Yeah, but in the beginning, I'm going to state, the beginning of the lamp, we suggest the highest grade of lamp, which is the metal Halliday lamps. I showed that photograph. Photograph was that one. Who was it? Come on. Probably this one here. No. Hydro Farm lamp. Recharge lamps. Hydro Paradise. The other's bad. Hydro Farm was before. Range. Problem is that Manohar is not working. Manohar doesn't work. With all due respects to Manohar, Broba was working and Manohar was not. Come on. God, how come it takes so long to set up? Come on. Takes a long time. Anyway, we've suggested that Halliday lamps. Now, here's it. The fluorescent lamps give 2,700 Kelvin. Okay. Tube lamps. Tube lamps give 2,700 Kelvin. He said 6,500 Kelvin are not bad. High density. HID, high density, is sodium vapor lamps. Metal Halliday, bluish in color. They're available as 400 and 1,000 watt bulbs. That's what I recommend. And the LED lamping, I'm suggesting for him that he should put pictures of each one so that people see exactly what they look like. It's quite good. They should see pictures of each one, what they look like. Setting up your light system. See, one bulb is the sunlight full spectrum, 5,000 Kelvin. The other one is a warm white, 2,700 Kelvin. On the top is a 46 watt, 6,500 Kelvin. Provide light to all parts evenly. There will be some sides which do not receive so much light. To accommodate, simply rotate the pot. Yeah, but if you have a big metal Halliday lamp with a reflector, like I suggest, you don't need to rotate your pots. And householders are busy. They ain't got time to rotate their pots. This is why I'm saying, if you spend the money on the biggest lamp, then you don't have to upgrade later on. You know, and hand. Unless, like some parents, they have that when their children grow, they take their shorts and their pants and stuff and they hand them to other kids, you know. But if you're doing a Namahatta preaching, if a household is doing Namahatta preaching and has plenty of new people to hand his old lamps to, then you can do that. You know, you can upgrade your lamps. But if you don't, if you're not doing it, which many people don't, well, then better just to go for the highest first, and then you don't have to upgrade your infrastructure later on. Here, this is what he's done in Chicago. And he's cropped the plant with every branch at every direction, so therefore it becomes a stocky tree. Here's his lamps. Now, I told him recently, when I was in Chicago about a month ago, month and a half ago, I suggested to him that he should put 4 to 5 tracks of metal Halliday lamps, hydro farm lamps. You're talking $450 each times 4. With the tracks, it'll probably cost you about $1,700. And I said, and these lamps are just stuck on the side. They're extra. And he says, yeah, I think I agree with you. I think it's a good idea. And I said, yeah, it's a good idea. These lamps become extra. Now, how long? 12 hours is enough to keep her healthy. Never ride lights for more than 18 hours. I agree. In the old days, from 78 to 82, we only knew tube lamps. They were 40-watt tube lamps. They were 4 foot long. But we had them very close to her. And we had them like, you know, stacked all around her. That's all we knew in those days. But we kept them on 18 hours a day. From 4 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night. And we didn't have, I think we had a southern window. So we just kept them on all day long. If you have an eastern facing window, the light can come in the eastern window. And then you can have a meter that turns the light off. That turns the light off for however long the light will come in. But it should turn the light back on. The problem with many people is that the meter, they don't like it. The light meter, it has an on and an off, and they don't like it. They can't figure out switch it, so they pull the whole thing off. And then when they pull it off, they just leave it off. And I said, look, you spent $450 on the lamp, and you're not turning the lamp on. What is the use of that? You're spending $450 on the infrastructure, and you don't turn the lamp on? Leave the lamp on. Leave the lamp on for 15 hours. You know? You practically have to scream at them in order to get the lamp on. Who was the one who turned the lamp off? And they get chicken about it. They don't want to tell it. And they finally got it investigated. And finally they find out who turned off. Leave the lamp on, you know. And I go and I plug it in, you know. And I was living with them. And every day I would go down about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and I would personally plug it in. And if I ever saw that the plant was off, light was off, I would turn it on. And then they got the idea finally, you know. Then I told her husband, the man in the house, and he says, hey, your wife is turning it off. Why? What's going on? Why are you turning the light off? Leave the light on. And then finally leave the light on, you know. Sheesh, you know. Spend $450 on infrastructure and then unplug it. Yeah, right. Isn't that smart, you know? You can't be. And the reflectivity, the painted walls with a very white paint, also reflective, something like Mylar, is good. Disadvantage of using mylar, it's impossible to clean and will need to be replaced after some time. One thing I suggested was the horticulture plastic. It's black on the outside for your eyes. And there was a lamp in Tallinn, Estonia. It was a monster. That lamp was like this big. It was like 2,000 watts. Super bright. Oh, Tulsi loved it, you know. But it was really bright for anybody that walked in the Pujari room. So therefore, they had this black plastic. It's black on the outside, good for your eyes, and white on the inside to reflect the light for her. Yeah. Both things should be happy, you know. This one was 2,000 watt lamp. Super bright. Oh, and like, you know, it's like it stung your eyes every time you walked in there. And you got to get your work done in there. You got to do your Pujari work. You got to do your work. You got to see, of course. So naturally, it was good. Having the plastic, and the plastic is readily available in the greenhouse shops. Readily available. Black on the outside, white on the inside. Common plastic. Training your Tulsi plant. Personally, I've made the mistake of growing tall Tulsis on skinny stems that can't support her own weight. The key of growing sturdy Tulsi is to prevent her from becoming too tall. One major factor for growing vertically tall is insufficient light. The light must be very intense from day one. When the light is strong, Tulsi grows slowly. It may seem like a contradictory statement, but instead of putting so much energy for vertical growth, she spends energy thickening her stem and developing a strong root system. You don't prune a Tulsi plant. You cannot shape the plant you want by cutting off branches. You can control how it by removing the top bud. He calls it the apical meristem. Exhibits hormonal dominance over the other buds of each node in the stem. When you remove the apical meristem, you terminate vertical growth and encourage branching. Interestingly, all apical meristems will eventually produce a flower, at which point the meristem will lose chemical dominance over other primordial shoots below it. They will begin to develop more and more. Branches will then form along the stem, each of the two buds in each node. If it is too late to apply this method, for some reason your Tulsi grows tall and thin, simple solution is to give her some support by staking her to a bamboo rod. A flexible tie designed specially plants to secure the main stem of the bamboo. Yeah, that's called blind uncle is better than no uncle at all. You know, you have to use bamboo to support her.
How this is different from pruning, removing this?
We'll just corrupt the top bud. I'll show you. It's right here. There's how to do it. These are the bugs. These are the bugs. Bugs. Yeah. Here. Here's the picture. Break the stem here. See, when you break the stem there, then it's going to this node is going to stop them from growing down below.
How is this different from pruning?
Pruning is you got a branch this high and you're cutting it way down in the middle. That's called pruning. This one is you're taking the top bud and you're tuck. There's a distinction. Okay? Clear?
Yes.
This is you're holding the stem with your left hand here and you're cropping it there.
My point is that you still break.
But that's all right. This is authorized. The other one is not authorized. Pardon me? Because it says in Padma Purana, if you break the stem, Lord Vishnu's heart feels pain as if he threw a spear at his heart. That's why it's not authorized to crop a Tulsi plant. That's why it's not authorized. But this is authorized. You're holding it with your left hand, Padma Purana says, and you're breaking it with the right finger. And when it's a soft manjari like he's got here in the photograph, it's very easy to do with your fingers. Vidya, my god sister, in 1976 wrote Prabhupada, can we use scissors to collect Tulsi or use your fingers? And Prabhupada wrote her back, use your brains. And if you have none, ask others who do. If the manjari is a hard manjari, you know, like the seed one, like we saw today in the greenhouse, nobody collects it, it's hard, it's starting to ripen up, then you have to use scissors. And if it's a soft one, then use your fingers. Clear. This tells you how to do it.
So it's always a manjari when we Where is this point of...
Not only the manjari, but in any branch, in any direction, that top bud, it's called a pallava, will produce a manjari if the lights are good.
Okay.
Right, so you basically crop it in every two junctions of leaves in every branch, you're cropping the top bud.
Okay.
And when you crop the top bud, Pundarik says, you put that bud on the head of Lord Vishnu and all the blessings land on your head. Like when you have that big tulsi like you saw in his light system here, that it takes you at least 15 minutes of tulsi to crop that. You're talking about crop every branch, everywhere around when you're collecting tulsi buds. You could spend at least 10 minutes on each plant. Householders don't got that much time. But do you think that, gee, I don't got that much time. But if you're going to get blessings, then yeah, maybe you should take that time, yeah. If you get blessings that land in your head, yeah.
I heard a story about one devotee. Her father, he got the cancer, and she cured him with the tulsi plant.
Right, I have that article here. I have that article. I do have that article,
so
yeah.
For over 10 minutes, save someone's life.
Yeah, but she did it pretty long term. Her father had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. He had leukemia, fourth stage, blood cancer. Fourth stage means according to the karmic, you're going out. You got days. Fourth stage means you got days. That's all you got. So what she did, she was a molecular biologist. Bhaktivinoda Thakur came in her dream and said, Lali, use tulsi. Don't doubt my words. So she's a molecular biologist. She just looked around, she just researched it. And then she got garlands of tulsi from Hawaii, shipped in to Washington, D.C., where she was, by the devotees. And then she gave blueberries, turmeric, maple syrup, lemon juice, stuff like that to boost her father's immune system. And wow, tulsi went into remission. Stuff like wheatgrass juice, barley grass juice, stuff like that. And all of a sudden, her father's cancer went into remission. And he got healthy after a month or two and went back to his job, in the Pentagon. Tulsi cured somebody's cancer. Yeah. Kind of smart. See, now, can we use her as medicine? Well, in this case, she used Tulsi Prasadam as a medicine for her father. But you can bet that it helped her take shelter of Tulsi a lot better. like that because of her experience. It's not like we do it. Do we, sometimes you do, when you have disease situations, you're doing some heavy stuff. We're talking about, disease situation, we can use cow urine. Sometimes people use human urine for diseases. One devotee said, usually that is like, if you have a chronic disease that is not responding to the treatment, then you're going to use stuff like that. And so my friends wrote me, do you have a chronic disease? And I said, do I have one? What's wrong with doing preventive maintenance, You don't have to do it every day, but once in a while it's not a bad idea, And I have 107 shlokas to prove it, Jaidvaita Maharaj put it very succinctly. Not everybody can swallow it. Meaning not everybody can accept that idea, but it was a pretty funny statement. Not everybody can swallow that. That was funny. Anyway, but see, a tulsi like this, like this photograph right here, you're talking at least 10-15 minutes on each plant. Easy.
How often is that? When day?
When you crop it? If the lights are strong, every day.
Every day.
Every day, because see, they have, these lights are strong, and they're on 15 times a day. So you're going to be cropping tulsi manjaris all the time. I was personally, when I was there for 5 days, I was going in their greenhouse, in their room, tulsi room, and I was collecting manjaris myself. I wasn't getting it from the bujari downstairs. I was going in there and collecting it myself. And because they use it so much for their deity worship, therefore, they didn't have many. They were using all the manjaris for the deity worship. They didn't have many. Yeah, but I was going in there and I was collecting myself. I was looking for the Tulsi Manjari buds because I needed 16 of them every day. You know, like that. Don't lean against the wall. The wall is not going to fall over. Right. Just a little bit then. Yeah, great. It's good. Don't lean against the wall. It's a nice thing, you know. If you keep about an inch space between that and the wall. The wall doesn't, it's not going to fall over. You'll stay more awake. If you have problems, if you're tired, if you worked hard all day, then stand up, breathe deep about 10 times, and should be fine, you know. That's a trick. And the air goes in your nostrils and then it comes up to your brain and it's like, you know, it's bitter. It's good. By that, by doing that, then you get more air in there. You stay awaker, you know. We learned this in the old days, you know. It's how you stay awake. And sometimes in winter, I used to go outside, jump around, you know, run around the block a little bit, you know, and throw cold water in your face in the morning. Yeah, you know, it does the job. Good job, no? keeps you awake. All right. 15 hours of lamps. I can't understate that. You don't prune the plant. Now, there is only one instance where you can prune, and that is when she has root rot. In the other e-book, Ishana describes it, that if, in a worst-case scenario, when there's root rot, then you retransplant the tulsi immediately, throw out the bottom roots, put root tone around it, and then you may trim the plant back so that it has enough strength to support the plant that remains. That's the only circumstances for her service when you can prune the plant back.
To save her.
To save her, right. Basically to save her.
How do you know that there is a root
rot? Root rot is when the leaves all fall off.
Okay.
When you're watering her too much and the root and the root and the leaves all fall off. Yeah, that's just simple. You know? I was in one Russian's house, you know, in the suburb of Chicago, and that Russian devotee was worshiping his deity and pouring milk charanamrit on the roots. And I had three plants, and all of them had symptoms of root rot in it. So when I met Patrick, I said, go teach that devotee that he can't pour milky charanamrit on his tulsi. And you could smell it. You could smell the dirt. No, because evidently the milk along the water was going rancid,
yeah.
You know. But still, aside from that, I could see symptoms on the leaves and everything. I could see symptoms of root rot. Pretty cool. Nutrients, fertilization. This is a cool section.
Yeah.
Now, this is a very nice section. These are results are wonderful. You use all BioBiz nutrients. These solutions are expensive but high quality. Right now we use four of their products. BioGrow, Root Juice, BioHeaven, and Algamic. Sea kelp based thing. This is from BioBiz nutrients. What I want, I'm going to ask him in this section that, this is page 19. So what it is that put pictures of each one, you know. Can you put a picture of each one like that? Probably, because the problem is that for different countries you got different things, you know. Kelp is a very common one. Apply to the soil, use to spray the leaves. We're using it as a foliar spray. It gives your plants a healthy deep green color. Any type of liquid seaweed nutrient is great all-purpose plant fluid. The nutrients come with labels for applying the proper dosage. Start with a light dosage and gradually increase to the maximum dose. The fertilizers are very mild. They're best used every time you water. Accurate measurements can be made by purchasing a syringe to be used with a piece of plastic tubing. Help you deliver the right amount of nutrients and avoid wasteful feeding. Good. In addition to these nutrients, we had mycorrhizae fungi and beneficial bacteria for the uptake of nutrients. They're not considered nutrients, but increase the utilization of nutrients. These are not bad. They're very practical stuff. Then many other organic nutrients beside BioBiz, whatever appeals to you will probably work fine. Humidity, temperature, and circulation.
What is this bacteria? Is that a separate thing?
Yes, he's adding it. It's called this one here. He called it here. Mycorrhizae fungi and beneficial bacteria. Go down to the local botanical garden, the local greenhouses that are doing stuff for money. They're growing plants and roses and stuff for winter for making money. What nutrients do you use? What bio-nutrients do you use that are locally available for your plants? And it's good to make friends with the local greenhouse guys. These guys, anybody dealing with plants is usually extremely sattvic and very friendly. And they're very approachable. And then later on, once you get a relationship with them, you can just take a snap a photo with your phone and SMS it to the guy. You know, this is a photograph of this deficiency. What the hell is it? Oh, this deficiency. This is magnesium sulfate. This is overwatering. This is a iron deficiency. This is blah blah blah. You know. And they tell you, what do I do for it? So it's great to make friendship with a local guy where you live, you know. And botanical gardens are good. Same story, but you're making a relationship with a guy that's only a phone call away, you know, or a mobile phone number away. It's really, really practical. You bring in him some cupcakes, you bring in him some cookies or something now and then, you know. Humidity, temperature. Well, humidity, about an 85% humidity. You keep a little dial, a little thing that will tell you temperature and humidity. Little digital clock type thing.
Humidity
in the air. Right, humidity in the air. But you're having a little dial. A little dial, digital dial, tells you temperature and humidity in one dial. You can buy them in the market. Easy. Easy to buy them in the market. Very cheap. Humidity is 85%. The temperature is 23 degrees centigrade to 25 centigrade all year round.
What is that drier than 85?
Then you put a humidifier, a little machine that you fill up with water, and it just blows out steam. And if it's too warm, if you're in a wet area, well, then you have a dehumidifier that dries out the air a little bit, right? But, you know, in Belgium, I don't think you need to worry about that. I think you need to worry about getting a humidifier and making sure her area is warm enough in the winter. Yeah. I think were you the one who was asking me yesterday about cutting old branches off?
Yes.
Yeah, because that tulsi that I saw, and next to it, it was evidently when I looked at the leaves that were crumpled. You know, I think it was a symptom of powdery mildew.
Okay.
That's what caused it.
Yeah.
Powdery mildew, which is a winter phenomenon. It's from November to March. They have like a little. Now, what causes that is dry, is cold, stagnant air. You have to increase the heat in the room. If you've got powdery mildew, then increase the heat to 30 degrees centigrade and have fans that blow the air all around it, you know, like pushing against the windows, and then it will circulate the air. You need warm, moving air. That prevents it from reoccurring. Then, when I stumbled on one site where they said 10% milk and 90% water, and you spray that on her, and that would dry in her leaf, and the powdery mildew is history. It's a very good, simple thing to stop that. it's time to stand up, it's time to breathe deep. Breathe deep about 10 times, you know. Inhale, exhale about 10 times, and you should be fine. Unless you want to be like Bernie. Bernie falls over in the temple room, boom, the whole temple room shake, you know.
What was the symptom for the mildew? The leaves were
curling.
Curling.
Yeah, but it looks like on the outside the leaf, it looks like a white fuzz.
White. Yeah, it's kind of
like
white.
Like a white fuzz. Yeah. That's called powdery mildew. It's a winter phenomenon. It's caused by cold, stagnant air. And the trick is you boost the heat. If your heat is 23. Then, or 22 or 18 or whatever it is, boost it to 30 and put in some oscillating fans in there to move it around. That's preventive maintenance. Now you got the problem. What are you going to do with a problem? That's after the problem is fixed. Fix it by 10% milk and 90% water, and you spray it on her. When it dries, powdery mildew is history. You may have to spray it a few times, but it does the job. Okay, circulation, important. During the winter, keep the humidifier running high 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Keep the door closed, humidity stay inside. During the summer, the air is naturally more humid in most climates. It's not so much required to run a humidifier. If you like, you purchase a relative humidity monitor to be more exact. Seems like 60% relative humidity is sufficient for plants to grow nicely. To a humid environment, Tulsi likes the room to be hot, 70 to 85 degrees Fahrenheit, which translates to 23 to 25 centigrade. Okay. Winter, this requires some sort of heater. Blah, blah, blah. You know? Problem in that Tulsi greenhouse, problem is they don't heat it. There's some, but it's probably a joke. You got to get a thermometer. It should be 23 to 25 centigrade. And accordingly, they should adjust the heaters, so it is. Now, when I looked at the glass today, it looked like the glass was pretty good. Looks like a double pane glass. So then,
when it's too cold, and the refrigerator has to go a few times off when it's outside is minus 10, and it's quickly...
Then what you need to do, maybe what you need to do is you need to have an external door, which means you've got a door and you got an air gap in between one door, the door to her room, and the door to the outside. You got an air gap. So you open the door and close the door, and then open her door and close the door, so she doesn't get the cold draft. Maybe somebody needs to make an external outside door addition to it. One has to investigate what to do. Like I was saying, the only thing you can do is that the plastic on the roof is kind of like a funny plastic.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to get thinner one, you know, a clearer one.
Yeah.
Another thing is, well, then they get a white one, and if you're worried about the hot sun, then you get shade cloth, and you stick shade cloth on the top of it. Green shade cloth or black shade cloth on the top of it. So you got a clear plastic, and you're putting shade cloth on. I was looking at it, I was thinking, God, why did they build it like that? You know, it was like this. They should have built it more like that. Mm. You know, so that the snow would run off better. This way the snow is going to stay on top of it. It's going to, you know, and some places in like where the snow is heavy in the winter, in Midwest USA, it actually broke the ceiling. When you get a foot of snow on there, it gets so heavy. 2 foot of snow in Minneapolis or something, you know, way up north, and it would break the ceiling. The weight would break the ceiling. That's why, a tip greenhouse is not a bad idea, you know. And you put a gutter in the end, and the snow goes down the end, and then it goes into your pipe rain barrel, and then you heat the rain barrel up and use the water for your plants. Yeah. Natural rainwater for the plants. Okay, 80 degrees, 75 to 80 degrees. If the window is not well insulated, she'll be kept further away. She should be kept further away. That's good, another reason. You see that Tulsi that had all the branches?
Yeah.
Maybe it needs to go away from the window a little bit. You know? When we get rid of half of the basal plants, you don't have to worry about it. You get rid of all the basal plants, and you're going to have plenty of room in here. Yeah. Digital thermometer, keep the temperature above 70 degrees Fahrenheit, which is 23 to 25 C. Oscillating fan is good. Pests, these are cool. Okay, here's pictures of white flies. White fly nymphs, known as scales. Identification, blam, blam, blam. White flies run around like anything. White flies are a very heavy thing. Distinct sticky substance excreted under leaves called honeydew. White flies are sticky. They do. But the other honeydew is also from scales, armored scales. Sometimes this sugary substance will cause mold to grow in the leaves. There's a good chance you have a white fly problem. To detect white fly problems, they're easy to get rid of. Neem oil spray recipe to eliminate them completely. If you see them reappear, simply reapply the spray. They will go away almost instantly. Another thing I used was they have a sticky paper that you put on the side of the lamps, and they stick onto that, you know? And have a nice journey. You know? Basically, they stick onto that. It's a sticky paper. It's a yellow paper. Just, I like that. Because the reason why is the sticky paper is giving you results right away. They're sticking on it. And the neem spray, pyrethium spray, that's later. You know? You want action and you want those bugs gone now. The easiest way is to put the sticky paper. Yeah, they get out of there.
Sometimes it's not too strong, but there's a way.
There's a recipe now. There's a recipe. In the e-book, he's giving the recipe. Adult spider mites. Two spotted spider mites feeding on leaves. Blam, blam, blam. Spider mites are extremely small. You have no idea what you're looking at. Difficult to detect. They destroy your plants quickly. You will have to detect them as their webs. When you spray her off with water, you can see the webs growing. They make webs which surround the leaves completely. When this happens, there's little you can do to stop them. The best way to detect them is to look for specific discoloration on the surface of the leaves. See? Yeah. He's mentioned it here. You can see there are hundreds of tiny white dots on the surface where spider mites have been feeding. Spider mites don't like cold or wet conditions. You have a problem, spray your plants daily with neem oil spray. Put your plants outside during a rainstorm. Biological controls, natural predators, which may help in the case of heavy infestations. At the end of this suggestion, the list of different biological controls for different types of insects. The four-line bug. This one you can't do much. Now, this picture here, there was a lady in Dallas that told me that these little round holes are the eggs of the four-line bug. He's saying that they attacked. These are ones that are leaves that have been attacked by the four-line bug, but it's not. These are the eggs of the four-line bug. She told me that. Armored scale bugs. Pretty good pictures. See? Here it is, one. Quite good pictures of the armored scale bugs. The biological control that actually penetrates, she told me, and actually lays its eggs into this bug. The predator wasp drills holes into the scale and lays its eggs. Not a bad idea. Control. Well, they're using another one here, which I have to add. They're using safer company called Ridol. It's a soapy pesticide, and they're putting it in 20 liters of water for 1 liter of stuff, and they're spraying it on her in the summer, beginning of the summer and the autumn, and the rest of the time they're using predator wasps in the winter to try to keep the infestation down. One of the greenhouses has heavy infestation of the scales. They probably got it when they, Tulsi was on the altar next to some vase flowers, and scales came from the vase flowers, and that's how they said that they got it in there. Neem oil spray recipes and instructions for application. Not bad. Biological controls, pretty good. For white fly destroyer beetles. Another one they didn't put is mealybugs. Mealybugs, they use ladybirds. In the UK they call them ladybird bugs. But here in America, they call them ladybugs.
Ladybugs.
Right. Little with a little red thing with dots on it. Yeah. And they're mellow. They don't they don't bother anybody. Yeah. But they're very voracious. They eat tons and tons of mealy bugs, you know. They'll eat them. They'll finish them all off. I didn't know that. Back in the 70s, I used to use isopropyl alcohol and bud tips and rub every branch to get rid of the bugs. It took me for one big tulsi that was in the temple room. It was 30 days of Srimad Bhagavatam classes, but I got them. Isopropyl alcohol and Q-tips. I used to rub each and every branch, and I got rid of those guys, you know. But a ladybug would have probably been able to have a good time, you know. You just put it on there, ladybug, we'll finish it all off. And then when the bugs are gone, they go somewhere else to eat, you know.
Put the chair back.
You got to put, hey, hello. Put that chair back. You have turned all the lights out. That chair leg was pushing against the thing. Put the chair leg back. Put the chair leg back. Grab the other chair. Right. Grab another chair. Fine. Grab another chair. I think we're going to need a piece of tape or something. We'll have to put a bit of sign there. Don't take this chair. You know, it's like, fresh happens pin. All the time.
Fresh pin.
Huh?
Fresh paint.
Fresh paint? Fresh paint, don't sit, you know. In America, we probably put some glue on there, and they sit on it, and it sticks to their pants, you know. Some kind of prank the kids used to do, they used to put glue on the chair, you know. When they sit on it, they go, and they're stuck to the chair. Good gag, you know, anyway. Spider mites. Hey, this is good. The four-line bugs are no longer biological control. Armored scales. Pretty good. I'm going to add about the mealy bugs to it later on because this is page 28. Collecting leaves and flowers. Offer obeisances. Locate the manjaris. Blah, blah, blah. Pretty good. Now, there are more shlokas than this. There's one shloka for collecting tulsi leaves. There's even more in Hari Bhakti Vilas. The other one, the Kshama Mantra below here, this one here, we accept it, but I don't know where that's from. I haven't found the Shastra Pramana for that. What is the shloka number? Where is it from? I mean, it's obvious that it's a good shloka, but where is it from? I haven't found it yet. Don't pick devotees on Ekadasi days. So, just pick extra leaves on Ekadasi. Yeah, but why? In Hari Bhakti Vilas, it says, if you don't want to decrease your duration of life, don't collect tulsi leaves on the Dwadasi day or collect amla leaves on Sunday. And I was trying to figure out that amla leaves are very, very, you know, very, very small and thin. How did they offer that to Krishna? I don't know. You know, I have to find out. You know, Datri Patras, Datri Phal is Amla. You know, but they mentioned like that. And another one, it says, Nachinda Tulasi Vipra Vaishnavam Dvadasham Kvachit. That's another pramanam they use. Another pramanam, it says in 7th chapter, verse about 354, the forbidden times to collect tulsi. Is the forbidden times to collect tulsi, it says, Sankrantya Dao Nasiddho Api, beginning from the first day of the lunar calendar. So they're basically, in the shloka, Sanatan Pad says, this shloka means that there are 5 days, which the smart just like to use. That is Purnima, and Amavasya. Purnima is the full moon, Amavasya is the new moon, and then you've got Pratipat, the first day, Panchami, the fifth day, and then you've got Dwadasi, and like that. And Chaturdashi was another day it mentioned. Some Vaishnava astrologers don't accept a Chaturdashi in the calendar. Then Dwadasham Eva Neshate, Sanatan Pad says in his Tikka, Generally for Vaishnavas, Dvadashi is the day you don't collect. The question that rises is, how is Dvadashi better than those other days? And I didn't get the answer yet. Astrologically speaking, why is Dvadashi chosen? When I asked some pundits in Vrindavan, they said, well, you know, all the gopis are serving Radha and Krishna on Ekadasi day, and the next day they need a vacation. And I said, well, that's logic, but where's the Sanskrit to prove it, you know? It's not a bad idea, but where's the Sanskrit to prove that, you know? Tried to pluck it so the stem breaks at the node. Any remaining stem will no longer be useful for it. Wash the leaves and flowers 3 times. Keep them in the fridge. Transplanting. Here's a cool picture. Look at this. See? Yes, sir? Yeah. Wash the manjaris 3 times, throw them in the fridge.
Really?
Yeah.
Why 3 times?
Why 3 times? Why 3 times? Good question. Why 3 times? Good question. Now, the thing is this, another thing about it is that Tulsi can be reused also. But they mentioned 3 times or 7 times washing, and then you can, prasadam leaf, you could reuse it again. I'm waiting further. I've seen the English translation of that, but I did not get the Sanskrit translation of that. So I'm still waiting of it. And if Tulsi is not available for any reason, you can touch a Tulsi stick as an offering of Tulsi or invoke her name. That I have the Sanskrit for, from Vayupurana. So, but why would you do it three times? I'm waiting for the Sanskrit on that. You know. Now here you see, in this picture here, you can see how it needs to be re-transplanted. It looks triangular. This one here, easiest way to tell, she constantly needs water to keep from wilting. This means she's drinking more water than the soil can hold. Another classic symptom is that roots will start growing out of the bottom of the pot. If you wait too long, she will become root bound, completely stop growing. Exhibiting clear symptoms of stress, shown in the picture below. See, all these leaves are triangular shaped in the photograph.
Triangular?
Can you see it like this? This is a triangle. Right. Triangular shape. The new growth, the triangle. Now the next thing is, see to the left of this diagram, you see this leaf that's turning?
Yeah.
Whoop!
Yeah.
When the leaf turns like this, they like curl. Help! There's another symptom. Symptoms of stress. Look at the photo. Quite good. Picture when Tulsi becomes root-bound. The new growth arrow performs deformically. The meristem will not develop and form mature leaves. Another trick is that when you have a Tulsi and you're looking at each stem, it's going like this. The growth is there. The growth is there in 1 millimeter each branch. And a lot of growth like that. So that's a symptom. There's no room for the roots to grow. Pot bound. Another symptom of pot bound. Okay. How to transplant? Pretty good. Now, this is not bad, except new pot, significantly larger than existing one. Significantly larger? Space restrictions you have during your growing. You can use a pot that is twice the volume of the existing pot. I would say the room of, you should use 5 centimeters more diameter than the previous one. That is a good rule of thumb. Now, if you're space constricted in your grow room, if you're expert transplanter, you can put her back in the same size pot for 3 years in a row if you know what you're doing. Most people don't know what they're doing. So therefore, better to tell them, yeah, just every year you put another, 5 centimeter diameter wider pot. But some people, they have ladies and they don't want to mess with it, it's too heavy, blah, blah. Space constrictions in the grow room, like this. So then there is a trick. The trick is this. You actually, take the tulsi, first you water it well, flip it on the side, and you use a, see, the gravel was there on the bottom of the pot, like I mentioned, as high as the dish is, okay? Then you've got a piece of broken pot over the hole, okay? And then you, so when you water the tulsi, you tip it on the side, then you use a stick and you push on that piece of pottery and the whole thing pops out. Okay? Then you've got 45 seconds because the air is touching those fine cilia root hairs. You've got 45 seconds. And you take that whole thing and you put it in a bucket of water. So the air is not touching the thing. In the meantime, while you're sitting it in the water, okay, you didn't touch it, you're getting your new pot ready. So the same pot, you're cleaning it out, and usually you see the white ring is there from the calcium and stuff, and it shows that you got to have a good filter. And basically you're scrubbing it and making the pot as nice, as good as you possibly can. And then you put another piece of pottery on the bottom, put your rocks. See, another thing about it, when you put the pot, that you have 45 seconds, so you're using your fingers to get off the gravel that's stuck to the roots, like that, and you put the whole thing in the water, okay? Then what you do is you put your new dirt in there, okay? And you make a hole in it for the root bulb, and you're putting the sprinkling, your root growth, your root cone powder, so that the roots will grow healthier, right? And then you take your hands and put it in the water where the other one is and massage 1/3 of the dirt off. Literally. You're taking the 1/3 of the old dirt off. And you have, then you have the root ball in your hands and stick it in the middle and add extra dirt on the top of it and pack it down. It should, now how high should the pot be? 1 centimeter from the top of the plant. After you pack it down, after, the stem size should be the same. After you water it down, it should be 1 centimeter from the top. After the water is depleted, the level of the dirt is 1 centimeter from the top. Otherwise, you are defeating the purpose of the pot. If she's lower, some devotees have it like 2 inches below. You are defeating the purpose of the pot. The purpose of the pot is to give her. Now, he's saying there's a controversy about plastic versus clay pots. Would you keep King Beatrix in a plastic house? You think she's going to come back to your city? Why do you put Krishna's wife in a plastic house? Think about it, you know? Plastic is for the birds. Really is lousy. Clay is number one pot because it breathes. Unglazed clay. It breathes. Number two pot is wood. Wood pots breathe. Now, see, clay pots, you're only going to get them as wide as 20 inches diameter, max. They're mostly Italy, stuff like that. They're imported from Italy. Yeah, that's max. 20 inch pots diameter, max. After that, you get 24-inch redwoods, redwood pots. And after 24-inch, you make your own. Now, what Sananda Kumar is using in Vancouver is they're using another one. They got pots, because these those tulsis are 2 meters high. You can stand underneath the chaya. There's, each stem is this big around. And these pots are this big. But they're using a pot, which I have to find the brand of. It has thin, tiny, tiny pinholes in the side of the pot that give air. Still, but Rohita still has to fluff the dirt. It's not enough air to go inside. He still has to fluff her dirt.
What does it come to see dirt? The fluffing the air?
What does it do?
Yeah, I mean, how you do it?
You put your fingers in, you fluff it. You know, he's using very soft dirt. Now, I used to use really hard dirt. I used to pack it like as if you were growing carrots outside. But they use fluffy dirt. Now, I didn't like it because if you have fluffy dirt, the stems are not going to be very strong. The stems are very thin, the leaves are thin, they're not very strong. But they didn't have that problem so much in Vancouver. But I don't, really, personally, I do not like fluffy dirt. But they're using it. So the jury is out whether fluffy dirt is good or bad. You know, I really don't like it. But whether it's fluffy dirt or whether it's hard dirt, keep her dry. That's clear. She likes her oil drier than wet. Yeah. You buy it in there. It's got perlite in it, vermiculite in it, you know, volcanic stones and tiny. Perlite, vermiculite, tiny little volcanic stones, you know. Pumice to absorb water. You know, fluffy dirt. And they ordinary, you throw water and it goes shoo right out the bottom, you know, along with your nutrients and this and that. Lousy. I hate it. Personally, I hate fluffy dirt. But anyway, hey, some people like it. Whatever turns you on, you know. Basically, you learn from the local greenhouses and stuff how they repotting. How they do repotting is good. Next, see, after you put the tulsi back inside the root ball, okay, and you added extra dirt and you packed it down, okay, then you use a thing called wilt proof. It is about the color, the milky substance, the color of this paper, milky light, and you put that in a spray gun and you spray it off 5 times a day. Because the only way she's going to get moisture now is through her leaves and her stem. She's not going to get any moisture from her roots because you mess the root ball up. Until the new cilia are growing from that root tone medium, you're not going to get any new root growth. Therefore, the root proof is needed 5 times a day. You're talking about from Friday morning until Sunday morning. And you're keeping her in the dark. If you messed her root ball up, keep her in the dark. I mean in the closet. Don't let any light at all. Because just like, for example, suppose you cut your wrist. And they go in the hospital. And they stitch you up and they say, relax. No activity. You know, like that. Your body is in trauma. No activity. So you're basically, by putting her in the dark, you're stopping photosynthesis. No activity. Then, on Sunday morning, you bring her out for the half of the day into indirect light. Without any lamps. If she's okay, and she's not wilting, then it's all right. In the meantime, you're spraying her off 5 times a day. Right? Then that's at the half of the day you can put her in artificial lamps on Sunday. So by Monday morning, it's fine. Turn on ordinary lamps, it should be fine.
You said, Maharaj, this is when you remove more than one third. This is messing up with the root ball.
Yes. If you're not messing
the root ball. Less than one third, it's okay.
No, but if you're not messing the root ball at all, you're just transplanting it into a pot that's bigger than the regular one, then you just simply spray her off and put her in indirect light for half a day and then put her, you know, that's for ordinary people that are using a pot that's 5 centimeters wider than the other one. But the difficulty is ladies don't have a lot of strength. Then I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, who's the boss here? If she's the boss and you're her servant, you're her maidservant, then get a dolly. You know, like a dolly, got a, like a T-bar of wood with office wheels and just... Get a dolly. If she's too heavy for you to lift, get a dolly. You know, to move her like that.
What was that spray called when you spray her 5 times?
Wilt proof. WILTPRUF. That's the brand. Here in Netherlands, they probably got it. Brussels, you know, in Belgium, they probably got a different name of it. Wilt proof. What is it called? What's it called in Belgium? Just ask the guys. Go down to the local greenhouse guys. Ask them, what the hell is that? You know, they'll tell you the local name. Where do you get it? You know, they'll tell you where to get it. You know, it's called. You know, what do you use for a root hormone when you're transplanting to increase root growth to stimulate new root growth? They'll tell you what it is. Yeah, is that a chemical powder or is it biological powder? Is there a biological alternative? No. And when, in terms of plant foods, don't use sludge. Sludge is human stool that has been treated. It's called sludge. You know? All right, the plant food should not contain bone meal, You know, blood meal, bone meal. You know, these are basically products from slaughterhouses. Sorry, gang. We ain't giving that to our Tulsi, you know. Make sure you get a bone meal or blood meal in the nutrients that you give your plants. No, I'm sorry, gang. We ain't using that junk for us, you know. These are all slaughterhouse products. They're in your skin cream. They're in everything. They're trying to get rid of it, you know. They got to get rid of it somehow. So, and they're trying to make money on, you know, horse hooves. They take horse hooves to make gelatin out of them. Then figure it out in so many ways. Just make sure it's not getting into your tulsi. That's all. Clay pots are good. They're porous and they breathe nicely, providing fresh oxygen to the roots. They're made without the use of fossil fuels or biodegradable. They won't leach toxins in the soil. They're quite expensive compared to plastic. They're heavy. They're fragile, have the tendency to crack. Plastic pots are nice because they're cheap and lightweight. Depending on the quality, they can be more durable. Disadvantages of plastic pots, they don't breathe well. Could cause the plants to cause root disease if overwatered. Yeah, and besides that, we don't put Krishna's wife in a plastic house. The other plastic pots that are bigger, that they're using in Vancouver, I have to find out from Rohit and someone to call, what is the exact name of that plastic pot that they use? It has the fine pinholes for air. You know, blind uncle is better than no uncle at all. You know, if they ain't got time to make their own pot, in the old days we just made our own pot, you know. We made our own container to put her in. You know, that if it was bigger than the 24-inch redwood, well, we just made it, you know. People are not that good these days, you know. They're not so... If you're a carpenter, if you know somebody, then make your own pot, yeah, you know. If you need a very large pot, it's difficult to move around, fragile, have tendency to crack. Plastic pots are cheap and blah, blah, blah. Recycling an old pot, clean it thoroughly with bleach mixed with water, rinse the pot well. Rinse some small stones, 1.5 to 1 inch in diameter, small layer in the bottom of the pot, no more than 1 inch deep. However deep the tray, the outside tray, that's stopping the water from getting on your furniture is. That's the root. Fill in about 1/3 of the pot with potting soil. My quarter say in the surface of the soil. This is the bacteria. Take a heavy blunt end and a hammer works great. Break the old pot by striking the sides. Plastic pots, use the scissors to cut the existing pot away from the root ball. Easiest way is to remove the pot. If you water her real well and tip her over, it should come right out. Why do you gotta break the pot? You don't gotta break the pot with a hammer or use scissors to say, what for? That's what I'm going to say. This is like page 20. This is 32. So when I get to this stage, I'm going to, what for? What do you got to do that for? You just water her nice and tip her over on the side. Boop! She pops right out. Even for plastic pots, you just tip her upside down. Gravity will allow you to pull that pot off. You know, why do you got to break the damn pot? With a hammer or use a pair of scissors? What for? Never had that problem, you know, anyway. Sweet guy. You know, I'm going to work on his book, you know, and I'm going to use a lot of logic with him, you know, and I'm pretty sure he's going to upgrade it, but I can't say when. I just got to yak with him. Now, after I finish commenting, then I'm going to say, Sananda Kumar, we didn't hear anything from you. Bubra, we didn't hear anything from you. Can you guys please comment on this stuff and get their 2 cents in it? Then after everybody gives their 2 cents, then I say, I call Patrick on my magic jack. You know, and I'm going to say, hey, when are you going to upgrade it? And next time you upgrade it, please put European, you know, terms in there. Please put, when you put Fahrenheit, please put centigrade in there too, you know, and bracket such and such. When you say such and such Fahrenheit, it's such and such centigrade, you know. Considering that this your e-book is going all over the world, you know. This is consciousness and cleanliness is basically you got to be brahminical about it. Okay, next. Let's grab the other one. Okay.
So Maharaj, it seems there could be a biofertilizer which still has animal things inside.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is the second book. What now?
I'm saying it seems that there could be a biofertilizer which also has animal products inside it.
Yeah, they called. Yeah, it could. Yeah, you could be. You
it's
could
bio,
be.
It's bio, but it's.
It's bio. Yeah, bio. It's natural. Yeah, it's got blood meal and bone meal in it. Yeah, you know, you're right. You got to make sure that you got. You know.
Usually they don't say what is there.
No, but then the label it does. Now you got to ask the guy who's selling. Hey, I don't want any blood meal, bone meal, any slaughterhouse products. We want some biological stuff, but we do not want any, you know, junk. And you go, whoa, the good brand is this, you know. The good brand is this. This is the second book. This is Nishana Devi Dasi's book. She did it in 1994. We bootlegged it, you know. My hacker cracker in Bratislava, he bootlegged it for me. You know? He scanned it, and then somebody scanned it, and we sent it to him. He says, it's a nice book. And then he flipped the pages and fixed it up and handed it back to me, yeah. And then his wife is supposed to translate it into her local language, you know, for their, you know. And I got to ask her, what's going on, you know? We'll figure it out. Pretty nice. Pretty good general growth and development. Not bad. Tulsi sproutlet, pretty good. Plunging a stake in the pot next to the stem is dangerous because a major root may be damaged. Loop a strip of fine clean cloth or kite string around her stem. As necessary to keep her straight. Tulsi is quite tall. You feel her height may be a problem you're concerned about. For example, she's growing too tall. She will not fit in the window. Carefully pinch away the very tiny apical growing point in the stem apex. Now, naturally, I recommend if your lights are strong, which I recommend, that metal Halliday lamp, then when the tulsi is 1 centimeter high, you start cropping the top bud.
1 centimeter
high.
Means
a second two leaves.
Right.
Maximum 2 centimeters high. Then you start cropping the top bud. Then she'll branch. If the lights are strong, and she's a strong tulsi, then no problem. Not a problem at all. And I'm putting, like you saw my tulsi seeds, I'm putting 1 seed in the plastic, because people, if they scatter too many seeds, then you get too many tulsi plants that are growing right next to each other. And it causes a big trip to separate them. You should have separate more tulsis. You should not have many tulsis growing in the same pot. The roots will fight for the dirt and nutrients and moisture, and ultimately they're going to... You can't untangle them. I have done it before. But when you entangle the roots underwater, like that, taking them away, the roots of 2 tulsis, for example, then you're messing the root ball well, and you have to use root tone, you have to use wilt proof, you know, like that. That's why it's better to not have it, have 1 tulsi, 1 pot. Makes sense. Rot resistant stakes, blam, blam, blam. Okay. The apical growing point in the stem apex, terminator upward growth, pinch the little buds, junction of the leaf, blam, blam. After these branches have developed 3-4 sets, their apical growing points can be pinched off. Good. This is the only shaping that can be done on Tulsi Devi. She can never be pruned like mundane plants. Blanches can never be cut on whim because you would like her to be a different shape. According to Padma Purana, Lord Vishnu feels the cutting of a green living branch as like pain in his heart. Yes, she's right. As if he threw a spear and burst him in the heart. Right. Always remember, tulsi is leaving interdirectional light through a window, will lean toward the light, tend to grow branches on the sunny side of the plant. Essential to rotate a pot of tulsi quarter turn daily to prevent this leaning and to encourage even branch development. If you have a metal Halliday lamp growing on her, giving even directional light, you don't have to turn her too much.
If it's a big on the top,
the big lamp.
Or on both sides.
The big lamp. The lamp is this with a big reflector, so the lamp is going like this. And so your tulsi is like this. You don't have to turn her much. That's the point. Tulsi's flowers and clusters of inflorescences called manjaris. Many whorls of 6 flowers in a central axis. The flowers don't open all at once. Robust tulsis under a year old can produce a number of manjari clusters up to 11 parta clusters by developing the two buds into the three-fork unit. Additional three-fork units caused by two single manjaris from the buds below those. The total length of the entire cluster is about 10 inches during a special beautiful offering. Blah! This is a quite high manjari. I would collect the manjaris even less than that. Not bad diagram she's got. Male, female parts self-fertilize themselves. A pollinator is not required. Pretty good. Look down in the calyx, you see four yellow spheres. Tulsi and other mint plants produce a special crowd of fruits called a nutlet. Each sphere is a nutlet that contains one seed. The seed is nestled in the nutlet so securely they never separate. Its sphere can be thought of and referred to as single seed. When these seeds mature, they're dark brown and will fall out of the calyx. Even though blooming may be year-round, seed production is usually limited to late spring through summer. Tulsi uses a lot of energy to develop seeds. Allow your plants to mature seeds only if they're very healthy. I agree with her. Yeah. Collect seeds from your tulsi. Allow the seeds to turn brown. Clip the manjaris before the seeds have begun to fall from the calyx. Yes, because otherwise the wind will blow and you get tulsis growing in your pot. In Gita Nagari, when I was there once, they had like 50 tulsi plants growing in one tree from manjaris. And I just separated them all. I just took them out of the dirt and I separated them all. What are we going to do with 50, 100 plants? Pass them out to your congregation. What are you going to do with them? You pass them out to your congregation. That's what you do with them.
My actual question.
Yes.
So normally you said every day you crop
the buds.
Yeah, yeah. So but here since you leave some towards
the flower, it depends. See, if you need seeds, then you're going to leave some.
If you don't need seeds.
If you don't need seeds, then you don't need seeds, you don't leave some.
Okay.
And if the lights are strong, you're going to get those apical buds, and different branches are going to produce manjaris. But even, I clip buds, because I need 16 of them, so I clip some small little buds that are this high. You know, you clip them anyway. It's quite good. Not difficult there. Her overall growth rate will show with age to reach her adult height when some types of tulsi is around 9 inches. Most tulsi is about 3 or 4. Oh, foot, 9 foot. Most tulsi is around 3 or 4 foot. Most tulsi live about 5 years. This is an average. Some leaves live as much, some live longer. Yeah. In Vancouver, when you got tulsi that are, you got 14 tulsis that are 10 to 14 years old each, 2 meters high. I understood she is staying to accept their love. That's all. They really love her like anything. They give her so much energy. So much energy and so much service Rohita is doing. It's obviously she's staying to accept their love. It's clear. The wood can be saved for carving beads, burn the dried wood in fire sacrifice, cremation ceremonies. You can also use it to cook for the deities, like that. The rest may be buried in a protected spot. Growing tulsi from seed, pretty good. She does a pretty good job here. She mentions it quite good. Can begin to germinate in 3 to 5 days. Some seeds can take longer. Not bad. Peat moss pots are good. A word of caution, if tulsi looks fine one day, the next morning is bent over at the soil line. A brown pinched area is formed in her stem. She's been attacked by a damping off fungus. Once this fungus hits, it can spread rapidly through the seeding flax. Immediately improve the air circulation, decrease the immunity, sift fine hop sand to the soil surface to discourage the fungus. Good, interesting point. She's making an interesting point about damping off fungus. Pretty cool. This is a neat, huh? No, you don't have to worry about the lights. No. If she turns purple at this stage, it's too bright a light, should be given more filtered light. Young seedlings, I never had this problem. I have never had this problem. If you even under metal Halliday lamps, indoor lamps, it's outside if the sun is heavy, then she turns purple and brown and leaves. Outside sun, but never Halliday lamp. Never. Inside Halliday lamps, I've never had this problem at all. She's talking about brighter light, meaning sunlight. Peat moss container, peat moss pellet, you can wait until she's big enough to have roots coming out the bottom of the side of the container. Simply plant the entire container to a slightly larger clay plot with a normal potting soil. The new soil line should be exactly the same as the soil line of the older container. Never plant lower or higher, problems may result. 1 centimeter from the top of the pot. After water, after the soil sinks. One rule of thumb is cool, is when you're repotting a tulsi, repot it up to the very top of the pot, okay? Then, later on, as it decreases, when you press it down with your fingers, the next day, it'll go down to about 1 centimeter. So when you repot her, you're potting her all the way up to the top of the pot. And then you're pressing it down. When you press it down immediately after watering, it got a half a centimeter. The next day, you can press the other half a centimeter. It's going to get down roughly to 1 centimeter down the second day after after you watered her, when you pressed it down. And should the dirt level should be flat. It shouldn't be mounded. It should be flat. And it's, and she's right. The stem, the dirt at the stem level should not be higher than the previous one. She's right. Two or more tulsi in the same container, you wish to separate them. When the seedlings are only 2 or 3 sets of leaves, tease apart the container, tease apart the soil mass, each tulsi is free. Root tone again. Root tone, wilt proof again. Even when you tease apart the seedlings. Yeah, 2-3 sets of leaves, we're talking about 2 inches high. We're talking about this high. Huh? What is that? 5 centimeters? Roughly. 5 centimeters. 1 inch is 2.5 centimeters. 2 inches high is 10 centimeters. Well, five centimeters. Yeah, 5 centimeters is fine. 5 centimeters is totally fine for each one. But again, wilt proof, root tone, and wilt proof. Yeah. That's why we're giving one seed at a time to people. That's why. Clear. Plant them immediately, water thoroughly, blah, blah, blah. Pretty good. Keeping tulsi healthy. Tropical climate. Nighttime temperatures can consistently dip below 50 degrees Fahrenheit, which is what? You said it was 12, 10? 12, 10, 15? 15. 15 C's when they stop growing. Right? In November, something when they stop growing.
Most plants,
they stop growing at 15. Right. Typical stuff. Shouldn't nighttime temperature should not get that low. Which means probably from October, September, October is when you're going to have Bhakta Agni in her area working at night. She should be warm. If the pujaris are not keeping the heat in there, then let them stay in there at night in their sleeping bag. If they're not comfortable enough, then maybe she needs to be a little warmer.
No, there is a problem at night with the temperature a little bit lower because the plant rests too much. You don't grow at night.
It can be a little cooler, but not that cold. Not that cold. Not 10 degrees, not 10 or 12.
18, 20
is not that bad in the evening. The point is this, is that the pujaris or the helpers should, if their own room is warmer than that, then why is her room not that warm? They should be ready to go sleep on top of their sleeping bag in her room. If they're not comfortable, they need a blanket to keep her warm, keep warm at night, then why not she? Why do you have it warmer enough in her room? It's a good rule of thumb, to tell you frankly, it's not a bad idea.
Below 18 is not comfortable usually.
Below 18, it's not comfortable, right, for human beings. Why do you think she's going to be comfortable? We can't be so cheap about that. You know, they should have enough heaters in there. That's why you have a thermometer in the room. So you know when you enter the door, immediately the Tulsi Pujari could look on the side and see what temperature it is. You have a wall thermometer. You look at that and boop, what temperature is it? It was the room, you know. It's clear. You know, it should be warm enough. 23C to 25C. And even when the lights were off in Vancouver, I walked in there at night at 11 o'clock at night, and their temperature was 23C at night when the lights are off. 23C. Not a bad idea.
Maharaj, what about the Tulsis in Mayapur, like even in Delhi, which are outside? I think Mayapur are outside.
Nah, in the summertime, it's still going to be blazing. In the summertime, it's going to drop down to maybe 35 or 38. In the daytime, you're talking 45C.
Yeah,
and at nighttime, it may drop down to 38.
I'm talking about the winter. It's coming.
Winter? Winter is zero. Nah. Delhi, you're talking about zero. Bengal, you're talking about 10.
Sometimes zero.
10, 12. You know, like that. You get a lot of fog. In Bengal, you're getting a good amount of fog at night. But the point is this, but they touch the ground is warm. The roots is a big thing. If the roots are warm, the leaves can tolerate a lot more. You know? You can have the air outside can be 5C, but if the roots are warm, she doesn't have a problem. The biggest thing is the roots. So the thing about clay pots is that sometimes what devotees would do, like in Vrindavan, what they do is they'll take lamps, you know, like those Christmas tree lamps, and they wrap them around the clay pot. And that will keep the pot warm enough, so even if the air drops down, like in my Tulsi shrine, which I showed you yesterday, that was done in January, they put a whole box of plastic around her to stop the cold air from buffeting her. But they put around the Tulsi, they put Diwali lamps around her. And the heat from the Diwali lamps is enough. Of course, I have something in my pot. I'm gonna stick some halogen filaments inside there. I mean, I made it for that. My mistake was, you see the size of those bulbs that are there in the greenhouse now? That's like 12 and a half centimeters wide. Unfortunately, the copper pot that I used, well, was only 11 centimeters wide. So I'm deficient by about 1.5 centimeters wide. So I have to put a halogen filament now for heating in the winter. I'll put a halogen filament in there. Huh? Nah. You're going to put a wool skirt? I mean wool. I'm talking about winter. I'm talking about winter. Does it have a wool lining?
No.
That's the thing, huh? I mean, the girls should think like that. Look, if you're wearing sweaters, then how can you not give her? You know what I mean? If they have a skirt, the skirt should be thick. Like there's winter clothes and there's summer clothes. The summer clothes are thin, and the winter clothes are thick. Same thing with Gornitai. Gornitai, like these Gornitai here today I saw, they got pajamas on them, okay? And Prabhupada told Parthasarathi Goswami, when he was the head pujari of Gornitai in 1975 in Johannesburg, he said, generally you dress Gornitai in dhotis, Bengal style in dhotis. So if you have pants for the winter, they can be thick pants to keep their legs warm, but they should have a dhoti on top of it. You're dressing them like Vishnupriya and Sachimati would want to see them. Who are these guys? They're from Punjab? Who are these guys? You know. You can imagine Vishnupriya said, this is my husband? You know, who is this guy? You know? Like that. So we got to think like that, you know? The dreams. The same with Tulsi Rani. If you're going to have a skirt for the winter, it should be a wool skirt. the wool should be a liner underneath the skirt, you know, underneath there. It should have a warm lining on it. You can't put Christmas tree lamps around the pot, you know, on the outside. I would put that on the outside of our pot. No harm. Looks pretty cool. You just wrap them around on the altar and wrap them around it. Not a bad idea. The one that goes in the altar all day long. Just wrap the Christmas tree lamps around her skirt. Not a bad idea, you know. It means that the Tulsi Pujari has got to be really sensitive and yak with the Pujaris and do the needful, you know.
Whereas the problem is when we move them in the winter from to the altar of those who stay.
Yeah, what it means is that cold. Yeah, so what it means is that in the winter time, some Tulsi should stay in the Pujari room. You should have a little light system, you know, and keep the Tulsis that you're going to use for the altar only in the Pujari room. So you don't have to move them from the winter to the house. You have some. You brought them over in September.
And then you have a problem with the water, because the velocity, it's not good to water every day.
In the morning,
you keep it in the air.
50 degrees.
But then how many? You keep 10 or 15 or 20 of them.
Oh.
You keep 10, 15 or 20 small plants.
Then you need a whole...
Whatever it is, but the thing about it is that you keep that much. If you're having 10, 15 small plants, you're not going to take much. Look, 10, 15 plants could easily be the size of this Vyasa site. We're talking about this much space. From the window to here, for 15, 20 plants, not a problem.
And day and night in artificial light?
No, yep. Light? Not at night. Not at night.
In the daytime.
In the daytime, you've got 10 to 15 hours of daytime, and then you've got 6 hours of sleep. When the Pujaris leave the Pujari altar, Pujari room at 10 o'clock at night, they turn the lights out, and they turn the lights on at 4 o'clock.
Is that okay?
Yeah!
No sunlight, only up.
No sunlight, no problem. If it's an eastern-facing window, sunlight is extra. You're talking about the northern hemisphere. You don't get much sun anyway. Sunlight is extra. I had no problem. I had a southern-facing window in St. Louis. I had zero sunlight, and my Tulsis had no problem. The lights were on 18 hours a day. No problem at all. They didn't need sunlight. Sunlight was extra, you know? You don't need it. So if you have this much area, that's plenty for 15, 20, even if your pots are 10 inches across. You still got enough here. If you have this much space, 1, 2, 3, at least 4, you got another 20. You got another 20 Tulsis here. That's plenty. 20 Tulsis times 2 is 10 days. You better have to swap it for 10 days. The Tulsi on here in the morning and evening. Put 2 Tulsis on the day in the evenings. You got enough to swap for 10 days. That's plenty. It means the Tulsi should be in the Pujari room for the winter. And the rest should be in the Tulsi greenhouse.
You move them by cover at the moment. You move them by covering with
this better, kind of it's structure. Better. It's better for her. It'll ultimately pay for itself. Just keep it in the Pujari. Is the Pujari really small here?
Yeah,
it's quite a fight, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the basement and it's...
They gotta work it out now! They gotta work it out. The point is that, or another room. Use another room. Like, see this room here where this Kartanashai is there or something like that? You fold it. Use another room, another side room for the closing room. You fold it. And then you just gotta move it from there and there. And it's one side. Yeah, you just move it. You know? Hey, you can't do it this way, you gotta do it that way. You gotta figure it out. But I think you should have 20 Tulsis that are in the temple room for the winter that should probably be in the building, you know? And the rest of them stays in her house. Simple. What's the worry about it? Well, yeah. What three don't you tell you about that one? Tulsi the spiritual barometer, pretty good. Quite nice. Material health dependent on the pampa balance of the five following. Water, temperature, humidity, soil, nutrients, crit pot size, clay and dust. These eight items must be in proper balance at all times, or Tulsi Devi will not maintain her health. Yellow in leaves, browning leaves, leaves of reddish tinges, shedding of leaves, small border manjaris, or sounds of stress. Careful analysis of environment should be made promptly.
I agree.
Quite good. Tulsi Devi thrives best in natural sunlight, 3 to 5 hours of direct sunlight daily, preferably morning to early afternoon. Yeah, if she ain't got that, if you ain't got an eastern-facing window, hang it up. Hang it up. Artificial light is fine. I never had any problem. She had zero sunlight, and she never had a problem. Of course sunlight is great, if you can give it. Another thing is that if you want to take her out in the summertime outside, yeah, but then you're inviting a lot of bugs. If you're an expert person, if she's got real strong immune system, she can fight off the infestation of bugs. But you should, the Pujari, Tulsi Pujari's got brains that deal with infestation as they come. Suppose your Tulsi gets white blight. Suppose your Tulsi gets spider mites. Suppose your Tulsi gets, June bugs, little red spider mites and stuff. June bugs. They're called June bugs because they were smashing on the windshields, and stuff. Big, hordes of these things flying through the air and they hit them. They're called June bugs, smashing into your windshields and stuff. For Southern USA, June bugs are a heavy thing. They're like locusts or something like that. They just like come in sheets in the air, like really covered with those things, like that. Hey, those are the times when you don't take your Tulsi outdoors, naturally. When the June bugs are there or something like that. So the Pujari should have some brains, when they can take them in and when they can take them out, like that. And another thing about it, you can only take her out when she's going to be well all night long. If you space her out and leave her outside, then she should be fine, in the summertime. And that's what they got to think about it. If their Tulsis are strong and healthy, they'll be able to fight off infestations. Rama Tulsi is good for infestations. Krishna Tulsis have a very weak immune system. They don't fight off infestations too strong.
What are the seeds?
I don't know. Somebody gave them to me.
I think they are Shyam because they have the purple branches in the manjaris.
I don't know.
Right?
I'm gonna have to ask. I think Gorgashore's wife handed it to me. I think I got her email. I gotta ask her, Ma, what were the Tulsis? They're asking, is that Krishna Tulsis or Ram Tulsis? What were they? We'll find out, There's something, We passed them out, that's all I can say, There's something, Okay, well, inside of giving a Sunday wither, rotator, blah, blah, blah. If you don't have a window that has sunlight, incandescent loud lights are virtually useless. Lights that mimic the wavelengths of sunlight are required. Fluorescent grow light tubes, halogen tubes, yeah. Here, she has this. See, this is an old picture of lighting system she used, which is based on the tube light systems. When you have like 4 foot long, 40 watt tubes, which should be extremely close to her. She got it like this. But I had it even closer than that. Literally, the tube lamps were touching her. And not a problem, because they're cool lamps. But they're only 12-inch. All environmental changes should be done gradually. I agree with this. Leaving her outside with no adjusting period can color the sun scald and go into shock. And the sun is too heavy. If Tulsi leaves are given too much sun before they bronze and whiten areas are appear in the leaf blades, these will turn brown. Leaves have been sunburned. Good stuff. Water. Early morning, blam, blam, blam. Don't use hard water. Chemical treated to use soft. Let city water. Distilled, purified water. Filtered. These are the days before filters. She did this in 1994. Filters were starting to get cool in California, but, filtered water is happening. Filtered water is really good. Depending on the size, blah, blah. Okay. Crust over, slightly shrink, pull away, not bad. Knowing when to water is one of the most difficult and most factors in our maintenance. How with a pot with ample water will be much heavier than a pot that is becoming dry. Right, because ladies carrying tulsi, they know. This is really heavy, you know. One will be able to keep tulsi soil the proper moisture level. Like I said, your rapid test is a smart thing, but the other one's better. We preferred the other one. This is good. We preferred that. What'd they do? What happened here? Sheesh, I just had it. What happened?
Celsius temperature said here.
Huh?
Temperature
sheet. Oh, here's Celsius now. ADF is 26. Preferred temperatures around 26 outside in the day. This is her. Sananda Kumar says 23 to 25 centigrade. That's what they're using in the greenhouse in Vancouver. She's saying 26 max and 18 C at night. She can tend temperatures over 37 C, but her growth is slow with the stress. Can do nicely with even temperatures into the 50s, but then again her growth will be slower than ideal conditions. I agree, you know. Hot weather can overwilt and wilt despite sufficient soil moisture. Don't water her. This will just waterlog her soil. Remove her from the sun into filtered light. Spray a fine mist on her to cool her down. Yeah, good stuff. Winter at night, temples are the crucial factor. Krishna tulsis, they're extremely sensitive to cold. If the thing about it is, the problem is that they were keeping her on milk crates above and the temperature of the soil was not good. If you put lights, like Christmas tree lamps around the pots, then it's pretty good. At the temperature, see the temperature in the greenhouse, is cool. But if you've got those Christmas tree lamps wrapped around each pot in there, yeah, the daytime temperature in the greenhouse could go down to 5 C or 10 C. And you have a lot of green, you know. So if you're worried about the heating bill in the winter, then one thing is not bad is to wrap lamps around the pots.
Then she can't take very long rest.
Huh?
Then she cannot take very long rest.
She cannot what?
Rest. It's light.
It's not much. Come on, the Christmas tree lamps. Not much.
It's
not much light.
In a room where there's light.
It's not much. It's not much lamp. Not much lights. It's not as bright as a light as an outside light. That the big top lamps, you're turning them off, but the Christmas tree lamps, the little tiny lamps that you're putting around the pot, it's the purpose to keep her warm. Yeah, it's all right.
It would look nice during the winter.
Huh?
It would look nice during the winter.
Yeah, it would look nice in the winter. Yeah. Winter temperatures, flab, will give you protection from the cold. It's not feasible to put her outdoors. Winters are not. A simple greenhouse can be built around using galvanized water pipes over which is 4 mm clear plastic, blah, blah, blah. Heating heater can be placed to keep her warm. Many greenhouses must be adequately ventilated to keep people below sunshine. Tulsi, she's a Florida, she's a California girl. So it's not, she's from Southern California. So it's not so cold there. You know? That's why she's talking about many greenhouses and blah. Careful not to put her in a direct heat of the heater in the summer, the cold from here. This will be too much stress for her. Actually, heated homes, the heated hair, as usual, is very dry. So pay special attention to the humidity around her. Not bad. Extreme temperatures are stressful for her. A lower night temperature followed by a warm, sunny morning causes her to wilt. It happens because her leaves have warmed up faster than the cold roots take in water. Best to introduce her to the sun gradually and ensure a high humidity level around her. Reduce the transport. Pretty good. Humidity is not bad. Humidity is 85, according to Sananda Kumar. Soil, rich but well-draining dirt. Some people like fluffy dirt and other people like hard dirt. What is a well draining dirt? You know, they pull fluffy dirt, they throw water, the water just goes whoosh, real quick, you know? I just don't like it. My mind is not, but other people do it. And I was always worried that the stems and well drained dirt, where the water doesn't hold much in the dirt, usually the stem structure is very thin. That's my personal experience.
There's soil which is specially made to retain water, so you water it not so often.
Yeah.
Is that good for?
Yeah. But the same thing.
Yeah.
Your probe is sticking
before
in it,
yeah.
And it's saying 0.5. Then you add.
0.5.
Oh. Right. Once a week.
It just keeps it longer.
So. Right. It just keeps it longer. It'll keep the moisture in there longer. That's all. Perlite, vermiculite will keep it longer. They don't have that junk in India. They got perlite, vermiculite in India. Nah. If you don't got it, don't worry, you know. And if you got it, well, then no biggie, you know. The bottom line is, when she needs it, you water her. When she doesn't need it, you don't water her. Yeah. Time will tell. When you serve her, as Patrika was saying, when you serve her, you start to understand who she is. If you're not ready to work for her, you will never know who she is.
What about fertilizing with, they make cow dung, kind of a...
But the thing about it is that cow dung tea is all right. But what they used to use a barrel, like about a big barrel, you know, 30-liter barrel, 30-50-liter barrel, and you're putting about 10 kilos of cow dung in it, and you put a bunch of water in it, and then stir it up every few days. And then that was not bad. And then give her a little hit of that when you water her. That's not bad.
There's also nettles, you know, like plant nettles. We have a lot here, nettles, which when you touch, it's kind of nettles.
So what has that got to do with it?
Well, when you do the same thing, but you leave it for a long time, like, you know, 20 days in the water.
Nettles in the water?
Yeah, then it creates a very nutritious tea. Or something.
Ask the local guys. Ask the local, you know, greenhouses what they're doing. You know, it's pretty easy. Ask the local greenhouses what they're doing. Does do well in a brown and sterilized commercial potting soil, unigrow, super soil. Stay away from sludge. I agree with her. Bioplastic sewage treatment is a component. It is helpful to make your own potting mix, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, mason sand, not bad. Same thing, nutrition, blah. The thing is this, the problem is she's talking nitrogen, the nitrogen gas, 78% of atmosphere. So nitrate, ammonia, and yeah, phosphorus, these are the things that are basically chemical fertilizers. It's not bad. Must be careful. Nutrition, some of the matter nutrients are added to the soil of a potter. Do not make the mistake of thinking of a little soil. Amendment is good, a lot must be better. The concentration of nutrients builds up too high, a condition called fertilizer burn will result. Yeah. That's the same thing if you use fresh cow dung. Soil burn, nitrogen burn, right. In Ukraine once, they would have these cow dung stacks, and the inside would be like a goo, and they would use that goo in the inside, and they poured a cup of that on Tulsi, and all the leaves fall off. Why? You burnt her roots, dummy, you know. Basically, it's what happened in Ukraine. You know, you should, they call it in Russian, they call it paranoia. You don't use that, no. You said, use sun-dried cow dung. Now, there's no sun in the winter here. What do? Put it flat, stick it in a tray, stick it in the oven. You stick it in the oven the top thing, brazier, the braise grill, right? You turn it on at about 150, and you braise that cow dung overnight, it's fine. A whole night it'll be on at 150, not a problem. It'll dry nicely. Next morning you've got.
But it's Fahrenheit. Okay. 150 Fahrenheit is, that's what you mean, is it?
No! I was talking about 150 Celsius. I was talking 150 Celsius.
Really?
The reason is because the drier the cow dung, the better.
Yeah,
right. You just... You're making small patties and you're sticking
it in. Inside
the oven. Inside the oven. Hey, look. Practice makes perfect. My bottom line is that you don't worry. If you're scared, then you can make it less. Yeah, but then the next morning you come in and go, damn, look, it didn't dry enough. And then it means you got to dry the next night. So practice makes perfect. Don't worry about it. Take some stupid cow dung, stick it in there. The girls will find out about it, you know. But after a few days or minute, you know the right temperature. You know, you just... The bottom line is it should be super dry. You're making small patties about 1 centimeter high, and you put it in there, and it should be super dry. Yeah. That's the bottom line, you know.
And then what do you do with it?
Then you keep it, and for each pot, if you have a 10-inch wide pot, you're talking about a lump of cow dung this much, about this high, once a month. You're sprinkling it into powder, and adding it into water, and pouring it onto her once a month. You're having a coin of about the diameter of a U.S. quarter and about 4 quarters high, about 0.5 centimeter high. You know? Such lump of cow dung, powdered up, added to water once a month. Like that. Another trick is that if you got cows, then yeah, what they do is they bake it in the oven and you package it up in bags and you pass it out. You know, to your people, that here's for your tulsi. You don't pass it out. Yeah. You know, if you want it, you can sell it. You know, I mean, cow dung fertilizer. You know, we've got to support the cows. Throw in a euro. You know, throw in a euro for the cows. You know, no problem. You know, it's not a bad deal. You know. Okay, transplanting. This is not bad. Roots are coming out. Blah blah blah. Not bad. Roots are filling the pot. Tulsi looks too big for a container. Wilts between normal watering. Actually past the proper time for transplanting. Like this. This is interesting. She's talking about, after watering her, letting her drink, turn her upside down with a stem between your fingers and the palm on the dirt at the base of the tap and wrap the edge of the pot in the edge of a table. Tulsi should slide the pot. Basically, you're upside down. You're holding the roots in your fingers, and you just all you got to do is tap it a little bit, and she's saying on a table, and whoop, yes. Pops right out by gravity.
Yes.
She's right. Tulsi should slide out of the pot. The roots have not filled the pot, simply repot her back in the same pot. But if the roots completely fill the soil area, the root ball is the shape of the pot, it's time to transplant. A bigger pot is necessary. Choose a pot that's only 1 or 2 sizes bigger than the existing pot. One that is 1 inch larger in all dimensions than current pot. Yeah, all dimensions. So you have this side and that side. 2 inches. Right. Five centimeters, like I said. That's it. But there is the trick, which she's not mentioning here. There is the trick, how you can put her back in the same size pot. You know? The only time we want to use a pot larger than 2 sizes when you're past the time for normal transplant. Tulsi's grown so large she's completely out of proportion to pot size. This has happened. Choose a pot size diameter is 1/3 to 1/2 the height of the plant. Never plant in a larger size pot because the extra soil will retain too much water. Problems will occur in root development. I agree with her. Avoid plastic or glazed clay pots. The drainage hole is essential. She is right. Tulsi from wilting, never transplant in full sun or during the heat of the day. If you're transplanting her inside her living area, and doesn't matter winter or summer, then it's fine. If she stays in her greenhouse all the time, then any time is fine. The best days are the weekends. The other days is Kama Dai Kadasi, which is highly recommended, you know, for transplanting Tulsi. Soak the clay pot in the water until it stops bubbling, blah, blah. Pretty good. I like it. See illustration 4. Simeon, new soil in the pots of Tulsi installation 4. Not bad. She's done a good job here. It's a good installation. See, this is the old roots here, and this is the new one. Not bad. 1 centimeter from the top of the pot. Look at that. Yes. Hey, she did a good job. This is quite a decent illustration. See, look at the pot in the bottom. This is gravel, okay? On the bottom. Perfectly clear. She forgot to put the illustration. This is gravel, you know? Little tiny rocks, which means we're going to adjust it. But she did a good job, I have to admit. For black and white illustration, this is not bad, you know? Disease and pest. Follow links in some bleach area and original bleach. Used a bleach water solution to sterilize use pots, trowels, scissors, equipment. Not bad. Keep her disease frisk-free is to keep her healthy. They pray on a weakened plant first and never attack healthy Tulsi. Sometimes, despite your best efforts, an infestation of a harmful pest will occur. Pests should be dealt with properly because some insects reproduce at incredible speeds can do major damage rapidly. Some insects serve as carriers to fungal, battery, viral diseases. Good. Now, this is cool. It should be mentioned that Prabhupada gave Bhavatarini Devi permission to prune back at Tulsi when her roots were partially destroyed through an insect attack. She was pruned back to a size the reduced root system could properly handle, saving her life. It may be permissible to prune severely uncontrollably infested above ground parts to prevent spread to the rest of the plant. This is an emergency measure only. Do so when the infestation got out of hand through neglect is probably an offense to her. Carefully watch your Tulsi daily. A few days of inattention could allow insect population to explode out of hand. Stay healthy if she's kept clean is to give her baths. Simply spray her off with a garden hose to keep dust and insects off her leaves. You give her a bath with warm soap and cleanse her more thoroughly. Vegetable-based Castile soap made with potassium salts, Dr. Bronner's, not bad. Tulsi smile, you bathe her by dunking her upside down in a bucket of room temperature soapy water. According to directions for insecticidal soap with a ratio of 1 tablespoon per quart of Dr. Bronner's. Not bad. Cover the pot and soil with plastic so the soil doesn't fall out when she's upside down. Place your hand on the soil with her stem between your fingers to help support her. Tip her upside down and immerse Tulsi in its soapy water. Swish her gently for 5 or 10 seconds. Slowly remove her from the soap. Next, rinse her in a bucket of clean water under fine spray of the garden hose. Shake off the excess water, turn her upside slowly. If she has water in her leaves when she's turned upright, she may be unable to support herself. The excess weight of the water, she will droop or even break. Be careful. In Vancouver, they just simply shake the leaves like this to shake the water off of it. They're talking about a Tulsi as wide as this, as these two doors together. You know, 2 meters high and as wide as that. All they can do is they just simply shake the tree, you know, they get the water off. The tree is a monster. The tree is, a, you know, 2 meters wide, you know. It takes 10 guys 3.5 hours to bathe 7 Tulsis.
So what did they do? They spray only?
Nah! They're actually tipping the big, huge Tulsi pots over. They use a swimming pool for children.
No.
A wading pool, and they got a little hole in it, right? And then they use this safer soap, Ridol soap,
yeah.
And they're 1 liter of the soap for 20 liters of water, and they use 2 of those, okay? So they got 2 buckets, two big tubs of soapy water, right? And then they use these regular cans, and they sprinkle it on her, and they're bathing her to clean off the scales. And it's running it through the hole in the bathtub, okay. In the tub. Okay. And then they simply skim it, and they filter it out. They filter the bugs and stuff, uh-huh. And the leaves and stuff off of that. And they bathe all the Tulsis. And then they just tip the Tulsi back, shake the leaves, and put her back inside. And they have to tie the branches back up with the sticks and stuff like that. And Rohita does it. I have photographs of it. It's cool. When you see Tulsi like that, you go, man, look at that, you know. What are they doing right? What are we doing wrong? You know, and they have the scale infestation. They're bathing her in the beginning of the summer and the end of the autumn. You know? At the end of the autumn before the winter hits, they bathe her again and they put her inside. In the wintertime, they're using, you know, they're using predator wasps for the scales, for the armored scales.
In the winter.
Yeah. That's all you can do, no? They got that honeydew, the honeydew secretion. I saw it myself. I was there in March. I wasn't there this year. My passport wasn't together. It's just beyond the border, the USA border, into Vancouver. So, you know, you got to have a passport to cross the border to Canada. Couldn't do it. This year I couldn't do it. Not bad, though. Couldn't do it. Okay. People can ask questions anytime. Not a problem. It's important to bathe Tulsi Devi Deity with water to keep her very clean in the summer months. Soap bath can be given once a week or every other week as a preventive measure. Or one can wait and use soap at the first sign of an insect attack. It should be noted, using soap as an insect control is a very popular organic gardening technique. However, most organic gardeners leave the soapy water on the plant to dry and either never rinse it off or do so after several hours. There's a slight danger this could burn the margins of the leaves. Therefore, it's recommended that soapy water be sprayed off Tulsi delicately before damage can occur. In Vancouver, they don't spray it off, but they put the Tulsi right back in the greenhouse. So maybe they don't have a problem. You know, later on, I'll ask Rohita about this section. Do you ever have any problems with the tips of her leaves? You know? Tulsi's attacked by insect despite the baths. Certain sprays can be chemicals or natural repel or killings that have been isolated from certain plants available the organic gardener. Excellent alternative to the highly toxic chemical sprays. Pyrethium is from polarized chrysanthemum flowers. Effective against aphid, white-flowered caterpillars. Applied in the late afternoon or evening, never in the sun. Should not be used with soap. Rotenone is from the root of the Darris plant. Works as a stomach poison on aphids, spider mites, ants, true bugs. Diatomaceous earth is silica fragments from the skeletal remains of tiny sea animals called diatoms. Hot chili peppers mixed with water discourage chewing insects. We used to use cayenne pepper spray for red spider mites. Mm. Cayenne pepper spray is good. Of course, you guys don't have any kind of pepper in this place, you know? We noticed, you know. Yeah, actually, probably growing your own. Right now in the summer, you probably should grow your own chilies, but they probably won't get much use in this country. But chilies are not bad. Green chilies are not a bad thing to have, you know, really. It helps you digest sometimes, you know. See, you can always have it extra, you know. If they don't want to eat it, they don't have to eat it. But if other people ask for them, you should have them, you know. Now, rubbing alcohol is good. 3-1. Apply first strength, washed off with water is effective against some soft-bodied insects and fungi. Soft-bodied such as mealybugs. Bio-neem by Safer. A dormant oil spray refers to a type of oil spray forms a physical film around the insect, suffocating it. Oil sprays are effective but cannot be used on leaves. The use has to be restricted to woody plants during their dormant stage. Now, however, an extremely fine paraben-based oil, say sun spray oil, can be sprayed onto Tulsi leaves with no damage to them. Available, very effective against mealybugs, scales, spider mites, aphids. Ordered from Gardens Alive, sun spray ultra-fine spray oil. This only type of spray oil we should use in Tulsi, don't use petroleum-based oil sprays. Not all insects are plant eaters, spray only on plant-eating bugs. Having this insect will assist you in keeping Tulsi's in the ladybug, ladybird, beetle, illustration 5. The famous insect eaters, the ladybug or ladybird beetle. There are 350 species of this beetle in the USA with coloring diverse from red to red, orange to yellow with black spots. Both the insect eat aphids, mealybug scales. The hairy latch from oil laden clusters grow from black with spotted dragons. Here it is. Ladybug. Green or brown lace beads eat aphids, spider mites, mealybugs. So the larvae attach, blam, blam, blam. They attach such as assassin bugs, ambush bugs, praying mantis, spiders can all provide service to Tulsi Devi by helping control the aphids. Ladybugs, lace wings, mentioned in a specific prey below, can be obtained at local nurseries through insectary such as Rincon Vitovat. Lace wings, larva, adult fly, blam, blam, blam. Common sun, known to infest Tulsi in North America, and probably here too. You're unsure about the identity of pests. Many garden nurseries will offer assistance to your local agricultural extension agent.
Right, the local guys.
Nursery extension agents have been extremely respectful of Tulsi Devi when told of her elevated status, and don't be afraid to approach them for assistance. Aphids, bland. What they do, not bad. Ants, farm aphids and mealybugs. They protect these insects, move them from plant to plant in exchange for their sugary fluid called honeydew secreted by these insects. The presence of ants could mean a future pest problem. Not bad. Caterpillars, bland. Delectable meal. One godbrother wrote me a letter, said, I got grasshoppers. You know, they're eating my Tulsi leaves like a brahmachari scorps down a Sunday feast. And then the patriarch of that community emailed back, use a guinea fowl, a little tiny bird, follows around with a lawnmower. You know, when the lawnmower is there, you know, all the grasshoppers, you just like choose them, you know. The grasshoppers and bugs that are getting out of the way of the lawnmower, then the guinea fowl will chew them up. Yeah. get a little guinea fowl. What happens when they run out of bugs? The guinea fowl finds its own food somewhere else. No? They buzz off. They go somewhere else. You know, guinea fowl, pretty good. Probably in the country, it's probably a good thing to have. You know,
you need a picture of that.
A guinea fowl? Yeah, it's not a bad thing.
Where do you find it? Here?
For grasshoppers. A guinea fowl?
We don't have grasshoppers here.
You don't have grasshoppers in this joint? God, look at this. It still didn't happen. Cabbage looper. Beside its name, they feed on anything, including cabbage and Tulsi. They're called loopers because the larvae have front feet and hind feet, but no feet in between. They arch their backs up when they walk, like an inchworm. Cabbage looper. Cabbage looper, an adult moth. Cabbage looper is on the left, an adult moth. Not bad. It's pretty good, even though she's doing black and white illustrations, you know. I have to give her respect. Ishan and Madhati did a pretty good job in this little Tulsi book, you know, considering it's black and white. Cutworm, adult moth. Blam, blam, blam. Hey, in Indonesia, they have... monster worms that are in the dirt that chewed her roots. They had a Tulsi that was planted outside and it went underneath and went up in the stem and just ate all the roots. And the Tulsi took 3 years to grow and in 3 months it's gone. Like this. So I realized the only way to do that is to put the Tulsi in a pot on above ground. Like this. Huh? In a pot. And a clay pot above the ground, so that the leaves, so the bugs couldn't get. And I was so bent out of shape about that Tulsi, I stayed up all night long on the internet, and I found out, sheesh, these bugs. But when I looked in the internet, the pictures that didn't show how big they are, they're as big as your finger. These worms, they opened up the dirt when they were doing the, they would clean up the grass in order to make this Perikrama Marga of the first Tulsi shrine I did, and they found that worm. And I put my hand, finger down there, and I took a camera to show the size. The size is big, the worm is as big as your, that big brown teeth, you know, like that. And basically they were chewing the roots, and they just killed her off. Fortunately, she's transcendental to her form. Cut worm protection, not bad. Look at this, cutworm protection. Pretty cool what she's doing. Bacteria like this for caterpillars. Fungal gnats, mealybugs. Placing drop of alcohol, fingernail polish remover on them will cause them to die. Neem oil, sun spray, a useful infestation control by mealybug destroyer beetle. Black shiny beetle with a reddish head and thorax and reddish tips in the wings. Larvae, this beetle looks something like a giant mealybug, so care should be taken between these larvae, which are beneficial, and the mealybugs, which are deleterious. Mealybug. Ah! Mealybug destroyer, larvae, and beetle. Not bad. Scales. Good picture of the scales. Neem oil, sunspray oils. Larvae, the Vidala beetle feed on scales. Not bad. Spider mites. La, la, la. Look at that. Illustration's pretty good. With a net on it, with the webs on it, pretty good. Actually, I have to tell that this is a really good illustration. Mites hibernate over severe winters, begin laying eggs in the spring, prevalent when the weather is hot and dry. Pay special attention, each looking closely at the lower septum's hand limbs. Remember, yellowish dots on a leaf, sure signs of yellow dots on a leaf are sure signs of spider mites. Bathe your toes with soap twice daily, bathe them with water, repeat the soap bath once a week until the population is brought under control. Expect spider mites to be a problem as long as the weather remains hot and dry. Special care for your toes will get it through the outbreak with little or no damage. Others have used a slurry about 1.5 a cup of buttermilk, 4 cups of whole wheat and white flour, 5 gallons of water to smother the mites. Neem oil or sun spray oil has worked very well. Predator mites, tiny mites that feed on spider mites are available commercially. Lace wings, lady beetles, these are different from ladybugs, are known to eat spider mites. Not bad. Stem borers, leaf miners, blah, blah, blah. White flies, humbug. The light mites can also be controlled by the wasp Encinia formosa that lays its eggs in the insides, although time is needed for this control method to work. Bacterial, fungal, viral diseases. Wilts, let's see. Powdery mildew. Downy mildew appears pale, fuzzy patches on the leaves that, left untreated, completely cover the leaf, subsequently turn brown and dies. Mildews that tend to attack appear at a high humidity if the air is still. Still, improving the air circulation around infested tulsi and dusting with sulfur, copper powder, can usually address the spread of the fungus. That's blight. Blight is copper powder. Powdery mildew is 10% milk in water, 90% water sprayed on her a couple times a day. That'll take care of powdery mildew. Sulfur, copper sulfate. It said here, rust fungi cannot be readily controlled with copper or sulfur and requires a stronger fungicide. Check with your agriculture extension agent, local nursery man. Not bad.
Huh? So here it says the mildew, the sign of the mildew is that the leaves become brown and dry and fall.
So first outside it looks a little whitish.
Okay.
And then it dries up the leaves. And then the end of the leaf and the tip starts to dry and then they fall off.
So my question is, when the tulsi is healthy, always the leaves are fresh, there's never fallen off leaves. Or
It's a winter thing. You keep her hot and keep her ventilators working. Then you're not going to get that problem. It is cold, still air.
But I mean, is that the only reason that leaves fall? Like
leaves can't fall from lack of nutrition.
Oh.
Leaves can fall from... If there's an iron deficiency, the leaves can wilt and fall also. They turn yellow and they can fall.
Yeah, yeah.
That's called an iron deficiency. But we're talking about powdery mildew, which is cold, still, stale air. It's a winter phenomenon from November to March. That's a winter phenomenon. You keep a room hot and keep the ventilators moving. Hot, moving air. That should stop the problem. If the problem occurs, then I said milk 10%, water 90%, spray it off.
And if she's healthy, leaves doesn't fall.
If she's healthy, leaves won't fall naturally. No. If she's healthy, leaves will not fall naturally. Will not fall too much. Okay. Collecting leaves of manjaris, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, pretty good. After picking. But the problem is, the mantras are all right. But I still don't have the pramanam for the second mantra. And she put here another benefits of worshiping Tulsi Devi. Which tree or plant is capable of giving love of God? And Lord Shiva replied, of all trees, plants, Tulsi Devi is the best. Yeah. Not bad. It's pretty good. Radha Balava Das, blah, blah, blah. Gita Mahatmyam from Tulsi Devi Mahatmyam from Padmalotra, not bad. But there's more. This is an old one. Old photograph. This is something from Govindadasi stuff. Yeah. Tulsi Kirtan. Right. Tulsi Kirtan. This is worshiping her in the morning. Not bad. This is worshiping her in the morning. And after the deities have been worshipped. This is all right. It's good. Tulsi Stava. This is from Padma Purana, Srishti Kanda, Tulsi Stava. We show this. We show this on the first day. It's good. This is that one. Tulsi Stava. This is Kushakratha's translation here. She's a Los Angeles girl. So naturally, Kushakratha was from Los Angeles before. Naturally, you know, she used his translation. Not so bad. Eight names and meanings. These are from eight name Tulsi Asta Mantra is from Brahma Vaivarta Purana. I'm going to wait and see if I get it from other Pramanas from other places. Okay? Hare Krishna. Okay. It is 8:30. It's time to quit. We had two Tulsi books. Right. Lights, 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 lights. For your private and for the deities, you know, for the deities, your Tulsi should have lights. And I do advocate that whatever the temple does, the congregation will follow. So somebody should help. I'm going to yak with our lovely, you know, Hridaya Chaitanya. I'm going to yak with him. I said, well, look, you can't expect your congregation, if the temple doesn't put its first foot forward and do it, don't expect your congregation to do it. They won't. No. They're just waiting for you guys to take the first step. You guys take the first step. An intelligent householder will think, if the temple's too slow, we're going to do it. But that's an intelligent householder. Don't expect the public to be intelligent. If they were intelligent, we wouldn't take birth. You know? So there are different degrees of intelligence, right? The most intelligent is don't take birth. But, you know, if you made this stupid move and you came here, well, then we're stuck here. Then we got to do something, you know. But at least, you know, if the temple is not going to take action, then an intelligent householder should take action. But it's best if the temple takes action because then their congregation will follow. You know, that's the idea. All right. Any further questions? Comments? He mentioned it, but the thing is, where's the pramana for that? I don't have an objection to that. Where's the Sanskrit pramana for that? Now, I've heard from Govindadasi's article, she stated, and she, you know, she doesn't know Sanskrit. She's 83 years old. She doesn't know Sanskrit. She said, you know, you can wash Tulsi leaves 3 or 7 times and use them again. Where's the Sanskrit for that? She doesn't got it. Anything she quotes, she says, probably in Padma. You know, Padma Purana. But where is the Padma Purana Shlokas? She hasn't given it. You know? I'm looking. You know, like that. No, it's not. There's so many plants that, so many flowers that you sprinkle some water in over it. Yeah. Or another thing we used to wash it under the tap. Pat it in some paper towels and put it in the fridge and offer it. Yeah, could do. You know? Yeah? Yes. Right. And as a result, the manjaris get dry. And the wind blows the majaras and you get told the plants you can't take care of. Right. Right. They don't, then no one's taking care of them. Right. Because they're stupid. That's why. Yeah. It's because the Tulsi is everywhere because the majaras, the wind has blown the majaras and the seeds, ripe seeds have blown out and she's growing in the cracks. Right, because of stupidity. That's why. Right. Yeah. Somebody should take care of it. Yes, Mother? About the what? Neem spray?
The Latin name.
The Latin name is Osmum Sanctum. The what? No, never that. Osmum Sanctum. Osmum Sanctum is the Ram Tulsi, and Osmum Krishna is the Krishna Tulsi. There is nothing else. There is nothing else than that. In Latin, there is nothing else. Osmum Sanctum is Rama Tulsi. Osmum Krishna is Krishna Tulsi. There is nothing else. No other terminology. No other terminology. Nope. No other terminology in Latin. Osmum Sanctum, Osmum Krishna. Any other terminology is bogus. Nope. 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 Only that. What is that? Something else. But it's not Tulsi. Osmum Sanctum is Rama Tulsi. Osmum Krishna is Krishna Tulsi. And what you got, half of the plants you got in your greenhouse is Osmum Basilicum. Osmum Basilicum is, they've got the forest Tulsi, they call it Osmum Grassimum. But that's another, it's another permutation. We haven't found anything in the Sanskrit to prove it. It's all Osmum Grassimum is nothing but a hybrid. It's a hybrid of Osmum Basilicum. Huh?
Pasta priya.
Yeah, they're all pasta priya. Right, Osmum Sanctum is one, and Osmum Krishna is the other, and the others are bogus. Don't accept them. Okay, anything else? All right, bull. I don't have a suggestion because I'm not going to get off their ass and take care of her.
I mean, it was concerning me when I was.
But you're not there. You don't live there. If they're not going to change their nature, you cannot change somebody. If the managers are not going to change the nature, what you should do is group all the Tulsis together and then cut all the Manjaris. Then the Tulsis will leave gradually where you don't want. They should take all the Tulsis from everywhere and put them in one spot. They're not ready to do that. You can't change the managers. The managers' heads are screwed on in one way. Forget them. Set a good example. Jayadwaita Maharaj told me, he said, forget about the managers. You know, I'm sick and tired of barking at their feet like a bulldog. You get nowhere. Just complaining and getting on their case. They're not going to change. Just set a good example yourself. It's a positive thing. Forget about it. A man convinced against his will retains the same opinion still. Another thing, if you don't convince the head guy, if you don't convince the guru, forget about it. His disciples are not going to do it unless he tells them to do it. If you're not going to convince them, what am I going to do? You know, about stubborn people, I'm going to write a Tulsi book. That's what I'm going to do. Those that are intelligent will read it and accept it and work on it. And those are not. Ignorance is going to prevail. You know. And is she going to care about it? Probably not. Because she's been doing it all this time. And for so many generations and like that. Ignorance prevails. She doesn't care. She doesn't care. Because it mentions that she's transcendental to her plant form. She does not care. She's simply giving it a chance for us to render her service. She doesn't care. Let the demons exploit her body. She doesn't care. What I'm really curious about is what is her strategy for picking up extremely bad people that are buffaloes, that are so sinful and so buffalo that they do not know their own welfare. What is her strategy for picking them up? You know, I'm curious. If I find it in the Sanskrit, I'll be enlightened about it. What is her strategy? We'll see, you know? But basically, when you talk, even if you spread knowledge about her, okay, that only goes, knowledge will only go like one, two generations. Then afterwards, nobody will know. And ignorance will prevail, you know? But she's distributing herself even amongst the ignorance of the jivas in Kali Yuga. It's interesting. When I saw that Sanskrit, that she is actually transcendental to her plant form, and I thought, that is amazing stuff. It has to be, otherwise how could she tolerate all this harassment by basically stupid people that don't know how to take care of her? How could she tolerate that? She's aloof from the whole thing. She's not dependent upon your stupidity. You know, your knowledge is your benefit. Any service you do is your benefit, and any stupidity, she's not affected by it. Blind Dungal is better than no Ungal at all. Let them do some service. But then again, she's going to reciprocate less with them. They just see her, offer obeisances to her, circumambulate her once, give her a couple of drops of water, bas. And that's their only relationship. They will never know who she is. That's all. She'll bless them from a distance and they'll never know who she is. Only when you work hard for her, then you start to understand her nature. When Sananda Kumar told me that, 50% perspiration and 50% take shelter of her, and I thought, that is an amazing realization. I'll probably find the Sanskrit that proves it. I'll probably find the Sanskrit that proves exactly that. 50% perspiration. Work hard until you sweat. And then 50% ashraya. 50% of the time you take shelter of her. If you're not ready to do that, you will never know who she is. And I agreed at 100%. I thought, that is amazing. That realization is so profound, I'll probably find the Sanskrit that proves it. Another lake, any other names of that, she can look it up on the web and she'll probably find it something else. It's not that. Asimam Sanctum and Asimam Krishna is the only terms for her in Latin. The rest of them is not. Yeah, they want to accept Asimam Basilicum. Then, you know, this is there are only two kinds. I've only found Sanskrit for two. The lady in Bhaktivedanta Manor in 1971. Prabhupada, this is the sister of Tulsi. We don't care for any sister. We want Tulsi. Dharmajaya told me that story. Hilarious, you know. To renunciates in 1974. God, I think we're circumambulating an imposter here. You know? One lady goes, God, did I waste my time? Oh, Guru Maharaj said, oh, come on, she's Baba Grahi. She probably accepted your love. And but don't worship the Basil again. Basil is for another greenhouse. Yeah, right next to your, right next to the deity kitchen. Yeah, you know, that's what I was saying last night, right next to the kitchens, you know, whether the kitchen you've got here next to the restaurant or you've got the deity kitchen, you should have a half-moon greenhouse right outside the door where the cooks can get right to their herbs. Herb garden, yeah. And that's where your Asimam Basilicum goes, you know, right in the herb garden, yeah.
And Kashani had an argument rest that because Basilicum has not a wooden stand, because this has a wooden stand, so she said it's Tulasi.
Is what?
It is Tulasi because it has a wooden
stand.
It's not. This is Basilicum.
Yes, yes.
I know it 100%. It's Basilicum. I can tell the difference. It's a thick leaf.
Yeah.
They're thick leaves, and they have sharp edges on the end.
Yes.
And the apex, you know, the leaves, the flowers are taller. The whole thing has
fragrance is different.
Fragrance
and flavor are completely different. Sorry, gang.
When you go in the
sorry, gang.
Tulsi, you feel.
Tulsi is a different.
Skin, you feel this.
It's different.
Something.
It's different. Yeah, it's completely different. Okay, any other questions, sirs? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hey, what are we going to do with our charanam? We got to bring out little cups, little tiny cups, and pass out the charanam. Everybody can bring that.
gradually we can transfer
to lasi,
when we can transfer the stuff. Some